Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Weekend Warrior trailer on ATV Scene Live. This is Pure Dirt, ATV's first and only interactive talk show. Tonight's guest, he's the WPSA Power Sports Championship Director. Mr. Tess Sewell is scheduled to be in the house tonight. And from Rossville, Indiana, Wildcat Creek MX Park, round 5 of the WPSA series, or make that the 5th stop on the WPSA series, Demetrius Knopp is in the house. And now, the hosts of Pure Dirt, two men that need no introduction, ATVC's John Pellin, and from Team Media All-Stars,
FMF,
Mr. George Cortez.
That's one hell of an intro we got there from our main man, Joe Magoo. I feel pretty welcome. This is John Pellin. I'm here with my good bro, George Cortez, who I think George and I should, since this is our first one, kind of let the readers know how we met and stuff. It's kind of cool. Let's go.
John was a cross-dresser. He was stripping at the local mall, and I picked him up. I've got a thing for middle-aged Ohio boys.
You tipped me very well, by the way. I won't forget that.
I used change, if you remember correctly. Yeah, yeah. I tipped you. He's got a coin slot. Yeah. And I don't know. We've known each other for a while.
I think Orville.
Yeah,
or who the hell is this one-legged guy up in the tower for? What's he up here for?
Yeah, and you
were like, cool, whatever. Was he a racer? It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you were running around like a maniac, and I was giving you my woe stories of all my failed productions and promotions, and I think we had that in common. And from that right. point on, man, it's been on.
Well, it's been a mutual respect. I know you feel the same way. I think together we've taken ATV racing to a higher level, whether people know it or not.
We're the black sheep.
Right.
Know?
We've made some mistakes. We've also made some very, very brilliant ideas. I feel I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but if somebody doesn't do it, it doesn't get done.
The truth.
I think we've done some cool things, and we're building to what we're doing here today. It is a monumental day, instrumental. The theme of today's show is the future of ATV racing.
Yeah, so, and I mean, in the future, after a day like today, I mean, the future couldn't be brighter. I mean,
it's
you know, we've been in the sport for a long time and sweating it out and trying to get things right. And, you know, it's amazing how a new group of people can come in and one day just change everybody's outlook.
Yeah. I remember, we'll go back to my start. It was a three-wheel ATC 90. And I was a little punk. The first thing you could possibly ride was the ATC 90. That's what I started on. I never imagined that my career would be built on that, but... Man, I'd still remember the first day I got it, and it's been a part of my life for life. I think I was 11 years old, and then got into racing, and it's so cool to see the sport explode like it has and land on this monumental day where 80 million people are going to see us in 2 weeks. What happened today? We'll get to that, folks, in a minute, what went down today.
It's overwhelming almost.
Yeah, it's just cool to be able to remember the days of the ATC 90, and then all the way through the mid-90s and the
80s for me, man. LT 125, okay. Quad Runner, you know, that's where everything started for me, and I mean, from that point on, it's just been nonstop. LT 175s, Trimoto 175s, I mean, just ridiculous.
You've been there. Right.
Yeah, I beat myself on the best and worst equipment.
My favorite was the 200X, I gotta say. The 200X, Curtis Sparks was my hero. He ran the 200X, and I had to have one. That was my four-stroke 200X, but what was your favorite coming through?
Back then, I'd say that I guess a Kawasaki Teke or Takati, depending on where you're from and how you pronounce it, but it was just mean and green, and, oh, dude, you just couldn't beat that thing. It was, you know, we always had the Tri-Z250s and the 250Rs, but, I mean, the Teke was a way to go for me.
Right.
You know, I mean, and the first Quad Racer 250 was just amazing. You know, I mean, I remember when that thing came out, it just changed everything, you know?
Suzuki built the team with Denton and Gentry, and man, it was good stuff.
It was good. The cool thing now is, you know, I mean, it's what 2006, and a lot of these guys are still involved. You know, it's not like a lot of people get into a sport and they're hooked for life. You know, you get guys like Donnie Banks that have been racing forever, and you know, Jimmy White's been involved, and I mean, Rodney Gentry's out here running pro-am against these kids right now,
and doing pretty well.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive today.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, today he was running with kids that are probably a third his age, you know, and keeping up with them.
We did an interview with Rodney. He was a childhood hero of mine, too. He's not that much older than me, but I looked up to him. He was one hell of a rider, and we talked about the future with him, too. And he's a great rider, great guy. I like him a lot. But all right, well, let's get to the future.
The future,
yeah.
You know?
That's what this topic. We'll talk about paths another show. Maybe we'll do a special show about legend racers or something.
We could do a show on when I used to think I was fast. That would be. We could do a whole hour and a half on how fast I think I used to be.
Or a couple of my very few moments in the TT Sun. I was a pretty good TT rider, but it can never put it together.
So, 40 years ago, ancient history, dude.
Yeah, I won the 53 National Championship. All right, so we jotted down some stuff that we're going to get to today. And we've got a lot of good people here helping us out and in the trailer even here with us today. Before we get into our show, I just want to give a special thanks to the hardworking crew at ATVC. And Brad Dedon is our right-hand man for all the technical wizardry that goes on. And as you guys know, our Joe Magoo, he does jack of all trades. He's our video technician / project coordinator.
Wait, slash ninja, dude. That dude did a spinning back kick in my pits yesterday.
He was a karate expert. Did you know that?
I had no idea, but he came within a quarter of an inch of knocking Angela Moore's head off, or Angela Butler's head off, and impressed us, because I had no idea that he was that limber. I'm going to think twice before running my mouth to him.
Right? Well, yeah, he's a black belt. So pretty cool, but yeah, I don't know if he should be swinging his leg around. He doesn't see very well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, all right, dude, I hope he's got his...
Your nose is over there. No, it isn't. It's right here.
Well, he had his binoculars tuned in just about right, and I think he missed her by an eighth of an inch.
But no, it's a deep respect and a lifelong friendship that I feel that I've established with everybody in this industry, especially the people in this trailer, you know, Brad and Joe. And this isn't a big money-making opportunity. We all know that in ATV racing. So you got to rely on people that you love as friends and are in it with you for the sport and for the long-term future.
Hopefully in a couple of years we could do this from the ATV scene yacht as opposed to the ATV scene trailer, you know? A
couple scene girls up on there. Can we
have
that?
As long as we don't get, I don't want to jump, you know, topics or whatever, but we don't want any of those.
You don't
want
to get me rolling on the team.
Those Adam's Apple Hawaiian Tropic chicks that we had today, man. That was kind of scary.
Well...
Now, if I'm not mistaken, we had Miss Double Wide 2003, 2004, and 2005 were there. They were all represented. And Miss Pilot Truck Stop 2003 was there as well, I'm sure.
Well, one of them was a female for sure, because I got a good look.
I don't
know. She didn't quite have all the underwear on. And,
did you really?
Yeah. I was in a good spot.
No, the one had a really nice Adam's apple. It was very defined and protruding and... I guess we could get to that later. I don't want to confuse anybody.
Show on girls that shouldn't be seen girls.
apparently there's a shortage of mirrors in Kentucky, and that's what the prize should have been, was a full-length mirror, and they should have actually, rather than giving it to the top three, given it from, like, 11th place forward.
What was Banger's comment? One of his comments, he was, like, talking about the list of girls we had here.
Wait, let's not confuse anybody. Mark Strawbanger is alive,
dude,
has made this weekend 10 times better
than
it could be.
Absolutely. We're going to talk on
that. All right, but what was his comment now?
He's talking up there. You know how he gets. And he's saying something like, we've got girls of all kinds over here. We got some Kentucky-like girls. I don't know if you guys caught that. We got it on tape. Kentucky-like girls. What's that supposed to mean? Is that like a backwoods Kentucky?
It's a bangerism, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got his own little vocabulary that he invites.
Funny. I was like, damn, he just said that in Kentucky, didn't he?
I thought for sure he'd be in trouble.
Right. All right, well, we went through a bunch of lists. We also, not talking about Joe, he's left the building, but he's got a bunch of sound bites that you guys might dig. We've went out in the pits and got some scoops and some interesting stuff, and we'll go to
He's got some dirt.
Yeah,
I mean, as far as...
It's pure dirt.
There's some stuff that's pretty impressive.
Whatever the topic is, it is. There's no beating around the bush and stuff. We say it like it is, and I hope that people respect that, you know, or not.
I don't think I'm going to be winning any popularity contests anytime soon anyway.
We're
not trying to.
We're just trying to get the news out and elevate the sport. But also in the trailer, it's kind of interesting. We've got ATV Illustrated here.
Insider.
Oh. Did I say Illustrated?
Oh, you know, everybody sign off now and go to another website.
Colin made a huge mistake. No, you know what? I have deep respect for Bob Davis at ATV Illustrator. I don't know why I was thinking of him, but Bob, if you're listening, there's your plug. Now on to who's really in the trailer. It's ATV Insider. George, I'm sorry.
ATV Insider, hands down, the best publication out, man. I mean, I'm a huge fan of you know, the. I'll probably get lynched for this, but I like dirt bikes as well. And I mean, you know, Racer X, Trans World Motocross, all the magazines that have got lifestyle and have got it, you know, have really nailed it that we always wished we had on our side of the sport.
Right.
Well, ATV Insider's here and they're just killing it, man, knocking it out of the park.
Graphics and all. It's not just the magazine.
Oh, it's,
once
dude,
that
it's,
thing goes into print, guys, you're looking at me now. Once that goes into print, I think you got some serious...
Dude, they've got it. They've got the whole package, though, man. They've got the editorial. They've got, I mean, the look, dude. It's just, the whole thing is just amazing, man. The first time I got it, I wasn't, you know, I was like, David Schloss. Who's David Schloss? You know, I was like, you know, I had a ton of jokes, but I ended up, you know, the first time I got my hands on a copy of that thing, I was like, all right, dude. Apparently, David Schloss is a guy that knows more than I do.
Some dumb newspaper again. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Well, it isn't, so I'm proud of you guys.
No, yeah, but Mark Burl and David Schloss, they've been killing it, man. I mean, if I was any other magazine right now, you know, any other media source, news, you know, print otherwise, I'd be shaking in my boots because these guys are, you know, they mean business and they're doing it right.
And we're pretty deep in magazine. You said dirt bikes, too. I have every issue of every ATV magazine.
My basement's
I don't think anyone's got more issues than me. I'm here I go again bragging about myself. But
yeah.
I've got,
it's
I
a John
like,
show.
I seriously do. I have like a category. I have my first three-wheel in 1981.
Do you really?
I have the first dirt bike, Dirt Bike Presents Dirt Wheels. That's what it said.
Was it really?
Yeah, I got them all. I have more than High Torque. High Torque burned down. And they don't have all the issues. So I don't think they care over there.
No.
If they have them or not. It's like, oh, yeah, there's an old picture of Gary Denton winning another championship. I'm like, I value that stuff. I think
it's
cool.
That stuff's invaluable.
You know, it was ATV News was a great, great magazine. It's the ATV Insider kind of reminds me because it's a newspaper, but it's that was a cool magazine. I really liked it. That was one of the best.
I'm not familiar with ATV News, man, but not to keep plugging these guys, but they're just killing it with ATV Insider.
Yeah, it sounds like we're sucking up to them, but we kind of are, because
they may be sitting right next to us, but I mean, it's stuff that I've said before.
We'll
wait for them to leave, and then we'll do the pure dirt on those guys.
Yeah. I feel bad, though, because we keep plugging ATV. I'm a fan of a lot of magazines.
Oh, no, I mean,
Quad Magazine's killing it. We're going to go into that, too. They've got, they're giving $1,000 to the whole shot winner.
Yeah, that's amazing because I mean, realistically, there's been racing going on for a long time. Let's not kid ourselves. Right. I mean, this is the first round of a new series, but
they're back.
Yeah, but the people that they're getting, man, I mean, they're getting, it's not like all these companies are new to the sport, man. All these companies have been around forever.
Right.
And they're they're putting their eggs in this basket, and it's just awesome.
That's Doogie. That's single handed. That's my boy, John Howe. He's, he went to bat at Quad. And asked them that they'd sponsor it, I'm pretty stoked about that.
Oh,
that's
I'm
cool.
real stoked.
Because you've had in the past, you have that Whole Shot Awards, the $50 from Lone Star. No disrespect to Lone Star, but an aftermarket company would come
right.
in and throw $50 in there, big check for $50, whatever. $1,000. That's
well, the cool thing is that they're not going after the same typical guys that have been, you know, putting the $50 out there every race for years and years. I mean, these guys are getting new people, new interest. You know, I mean,
right.
They got a beef jerky company, dude.
Right.
You know, like that's just amazing.
Right. Well, we've got like our intro said, Joe Magoo came out and told us who's an intro. Our guest, we weren't sure what was going to make it. Is Tess Sewell, because he's instrumental in building this thing this weekend. We knew he'd be busy, but here it is, 7:08 or something. He walks in the door. So we got Tess in the house. We'll talk to him in a minute here, which I'm stoked because I was thinking, well, he's probably not going to show up because all the stuff going down. It has to be. I've been a promoter before.
But you notice we started sucking up just at the right moment.
I know.
You know, I mean,
dude,
it was perfect timing.
It worked out really good. So let's, without any further ado, it's Tess Sewell. You are, what's your position, Tess?
I think I'm the janitor. That's what it says on my card anyway. By the way, I've got to tell everyone, this place is a palace.
That's Weekend Warrior.
I had no idea guys were making such bank.
It's Weekend Warrior hooking us up.
Just
brought this thing back from California. Corey, if anybody knows John Pellin, myself, there's always stories. So I got plenty of stories of pulling this thing back, but we'll go into them later. Well, right now, it's the future of ATV racing. We want to talk about today's instrumental day.
You know, I mean, to me, it just feels like a day that I need more ibuprofen in, but it was a great day. The thing is, when we came in here for the weekend, And I stood up in front of the riders meeting. It's actually a conversation we'd had with all of the power sports staff before it was. We were preaching tolerance because everybody had to be tolerant of everybody else because it was so new. Uh-huh. It's a completely new race format. It's a new venue for a lot of people. We have people crossing over from snowcross who are coming into motocross. Right, right. You know, I mean, it's humps of snow and humps of dirt, but it is a bit of a different environment. And it's amazing how well people are actually meshing right now, and everybody's getting on, and riders are happy. And I think I saw one person that was upset today.
He didn't hear the speaker. I know who you're talking about.
Amazingly enough, it was sorted out.
He missed his race.
He's coming back tomorrow. I actually had a conversation with him. He was funny. I mean, really good interviews with TV.
Right.
I was standing in the TV truck watching the race take place. And all of a sudden, I noticed there's an eighth place on stack, and I'm like, "What happened? Because this guy's so fast, right. And he was funny, and he was really enjoying himself, and you know, a real shame.
He's into it big time.
He kind of, you know, again, it was a new format to him, and he thought that we were behind, and we were actually like ahead of schedule at the time. But unfortunately, his race was on a schedule, and it had to run on schedule because we were living in the land of TV at the time. But he's going to come out and try it tomorrow, so we'll see how he does. And
tested his talent, and he's going to every one of them. He's going to be right there in the points anyway. It won't matter.
You know, it was an interesting thing I heard today, and it came from James Perry from JPMX. And he said, "Man, I heard something this weekend I've never heard at a race before." And I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Thank you." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I've been thanked more times this weekend by people that I'm handing money to than ever before." And he's been racing for a long time. That guy's been around forever. So, I mean, I think... it's not going to be hard to mesh with everybody, man. You guys just keep treating us like human beings, and everybody's really excited about it. I mean, the level of respect that's been shown in the racers this weekend is just unprecedented, you know?
You know, we've got a real challenge, especially in these first few events, because we only have 6 racing weekends right now in our schedule, but we have 10 television shows. So the first couple of events here, we have to fit 2 television shows worth of pro racing into one weekend, and that is where one of the huge challenges is, because every time we go to do television, you have these little stalls in the program. It's not like you just can put them in the gate and drop it,
right.
Because you've got an army of people that you have to get ready for it,
right.
And that's just a little bit of the hiccup along the way that we were looking at. You know, we were lucky today. We actually managed to get a lot of the amateur classes off. People were getting on the gate on time, and it worked out. But we keep constantly trying to think and trying to retool how we can do it. And also, for us, the challenge is how we keep communicating to people, because, you know, there's a bit of fluidity to the schedule, and if we need to talk about that, we need to have Banger let everybody know that it's going on. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to find people, because they're hanging out, sleeping in the trailers, wrenching on their bike, you know, listening to Metallica on their iPod or something.
Right.
So.
Well, no one here has really done an ATV race. You've done one pretty damn big one in the Great Outdoor Games. You were responsible for the ESPN Great Outdoor Games to make that happen for ATVs, I should say. But with that said, I imagine you've been dictating what to do and what not to do all day.
You know, I've done a lot of live events. We've got a crew that's done everything from, you know, World Minis, Supercross, obviously all the snowcross races. What I've been trying to do today, and very deliberately, is I've been trying to delegate the responsibility to the people who have to be dealing with this on a seasonal basis, because if everybody comes to me to ask the question and I have to give the question, you know, the answer to that question every time, then all of a sudden there'll be 1,000 people trying to find, you know, one guy in an orange shirt. That's going to be a big problem. What happened today was, you know, guys like Keith, who's our referee,
Keith
Donnie
Brown.
Banks.
He was a good racer, but he
also, we came up the other night, we were talking, and we came up with an idea whereby we're going to try not to be reactive in the sense of dealing with issues that come up from racers. So Keith actually deals with, there's a guy called Blair Bodley, who is the race director in snowcross.
Okay.
He is shadowing Donnie Banks, who is kind of acting in a bit of a race director role here. And then we also have another guy called Doug Morrissey, and those guys actually work a lot of those issues out by committee whenever they can, to make sure that they've thought of everything, and that you're not just rushing into a decision to get a decision made, because obviously you've got a racer or you've got a parent or somebody in front of you who kind of wants that immediate gratification, but quite often the payoff immediately to one person upsets 20 more down the line. And that's one of the things that we're trying to be conscious of. Is
just no knee-jerk reaction kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you know, and I made a decision today and changed the CC limits on our quad terrain class, and we had to react to a negative reaction from the other riders to that.
It's going
to
happen again.
And, you know, it was one of those things. It was one of those things that happened. Yep. And, you know, I'll stand up and I said sorry for it. We tried to... We tried to weight it a little differently for a guy who had a CC advantage in the class, but all of this stuff is, it's like a learning process, but when we're trying not to make rash decisions just because we think we want to please the person that's standing in front of us all the time.
Right. Well, it's just that not being short-sighted about it. You know, it seems like you guys are looking at the bigger picture and actually taking the time to think about things and think them through, and some, you can't be the nice guy every time, you know? It's just a reality of the sport. You know, I'd much rather have somebody that's not trying to please everybody then, you know, a guy that's pleasing everybody and then having to rework it every other round. So I think from the racer standpoint, everybody just seems ecstatic about it. Everybody seems like that, you know, their concerns have been listened to. Everybody's been, you know, just feels like they've been respected this weekend.
We keep hearing that. What is it on your end? What do you hear from the racers? Is there anybody getting high in the corner or swearing at you guys?
No, from our perspective, from my perspective personally, it's funny because I haven't had enough contact with racers to actually get their reaction.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been, you know, at midnight last night, we were making sure signage was straight and all the other things we have to do. But the power sports staff have been getting overwhelmingly positive reactions from people. And even the challenge, the guys from Bay Racing who are doing timing and scoring with us today, we had an absolute cutoff time. And, you know, it's not something I'm going to encourage because you need to have parameters and live by these parameters. But today, we had a few people who showed up who are used to running other racing programs, and it's like, oh, you know, normally you can roll in, maybe in 10 o'clock is the cutoff. We had a 7:30 cutoff for sign-up.
Right.
The Bay Racing guys said, it's okay, you can come in, we're going to put you in there, and they squeezed a few extra people into the program, which meant, you know, we had a few more happy racers out there, and, you know, they're those people that are coming up, I think, and saying, you know, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that was good. Hey, lost internet today, too.
Yeah, hey, not to interrupt you guys, but I'm not sure if the listeners are aware. We've got a thread posted in the open forums, and they could just post their questions, and we can react to them immediately answer your questions. So if anybody's got anything, any questions for Tess, any questions for John or myself, any more of John's illustrious past or history of racing stories,
we can... people aren't listening, because they will chime in, and I got to talk about something I don't want to talk about. But we won't go there.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, make it interactive. I like it.
Yep.
What people would really like to see if they'd been here was, of course, we had a great Hawaiian Tropic model competition.
She's in my bedroom right now.
Really?
Come on out, Stacy.
We're missing all the adventure here.
Hi, John.
You're at home. We're really sorry.
You know
what was really awesome is we had the Miss Hawaiian Tropic contest, but we had Miss USA judging the contest. And I felt I must be really high class now that I've got to that kind of point.
All right, well, let's call a spade here, dude. Where did you guys find the second half of that Hawaiian Tropic contest? The contestants.
He didn't like a couple of the girls.
There was a couple that legitimately could have been classified as females, and then there was a couple of Adam's apples up there that were really, really scaring me.
Well, I think it's all part of the great wonder of life.
The great wonder of life. All right. Well,
I was telling him I have facts that there was a female there.
There was some beautiful girls up there, man. I'm giving you guys a hard time. There was
Teresa Creech pointed out to me someone wasn't wearing panties.
It's a bikini contest. You're not supposed to wear panties with a bikini.
The funniest thing for me is that I came out of actually the registration scoring building, and I was expecting, and I don't know why, I'm expecting the girls to be wearing these, like, full one-piece bathing suits.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'd been told that by the Hawaiian Tropic people.
So too.
And I was coming out, and I walk around the corner. There's this massive crowd of people. And I look over the top, and all of a sudden, I'm like,
Whoa!
They're wearing dental floss.
That was floss. Actually, yeah. It was rhinestone floss. It was even better. It was.
I think the girl that won deserved it though, and she was a pretty girl and
well, very beautiful and really good.
Well kept. Pictures in my camera, guys.
No, these girls have been great too because they've actually they came and they helped us. They did the award ceremony and presented the trophy to John Natale and. They've been wandering around. They were like taking pictures with all the guys in the pro pits, and I'm sure you've got a billion pictures.
John. Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna make.
There's only three race pictures from this weekend, and 7,800 pictures of the Hawaiian Tropic contest.
If I'm coming to a race and expect race pictures. Well, the Ashley that won it, she's I think Lexington, Kentucky. But anyway, she's gonna be Miss June. We did a deal where she's gonna be our Miss June scene girl. So we're gonna shoot her tomorrow. Someone's quad. We should make that interactive almost.
Cool.
Tell us which quad we should shoot in this.
Well, we actually got a question coming up.
Oh, okay.
It makes Racer Wannabes on the phones, and he was wondering if this was an idea that Tess had, basically, is this something he had originally, since before the Great Outdoor Games, or was the idea to get involved with this series and make this happen something that happened due to the success of the Great Outdoor Games?
It's funny to say, is it the chicken or the egg? Or is that the hen or the egg? I'm always confused. But Great Outdoor Games was a three-year process to get ESPN to put ATV racing on the network. And it's funny because I'd kind of almost given up after a little while. And when it came back and they said, okay, we like the idea of the stuff that you're talking about. The idea that I'd talked to them about originally was I'd been watching racing and I was looking at the idea of putting something like the Terracross we did at Great Outdoor Games in, because I figured there's so many people with utility quads, there had to be a way to race them and a marketplace for it.
Right.
And they came back, and it was during that process that we started talking about doing some other things, which is where we actually managed to get motocross racing in there, because I said, hey, it's big air, it's really fast, you've got to see it, you've got to see these crazy things going around the corner and that back axle just skipping the thing all over the place. And after that, of course, there was, there were a couple of organizations that suddenly wanted to get involved and said, hey, there's a series to be done here, there's television to be made from this. Because I forget what we called it, but it was like the greatest motorsport you've never heard of.
And that's about as fitting as it can be,
True.
And I think it comes from, the dark days of the CPSC.
Right.
And everyone running away from ATVs, and then all of a sudden going, oh, wait a second.
Right.
Now they realize there's so many people with ATVs, the factories all want to get back in because, that's their business. That's what they make their money from. But my mind was blown when I realized how many amateurs and how many grassroots racers there are out there that really had, very, very few outlets to go and do this stuff. And the fact that you look at motocross and you look at where it became supercross and everything else, there's obviously an opportunity for four wheels to do it because two wheels did it. You don't have to be the poor cousin.
And it's funny because I always watch I'm a huge fan of the dirt bike side of things. And I watch stuff and I go, how many people actually own a dirt bike at home? Everybody that I know owns a four-wheeler. Right. Whether it's their dad owns one or, if you live anywhere rural, it's just a way of life, And I always think that it's so much more appealing, and I think it's got so much more of a more potential
The funny thing is the story really struck home to me because you guys know Dave Butts, who works with us, who work Great Outdoor Games. He's the sport organizer for X Games, and Dave was a motorhead. I mean, he used to, he'd be the guy in that staging line and working at World Minis, and I think about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, turns up and he's got a Honda 450 quad, and I'm like, what's going on? He said, you know what? I go out and I go to the desert, and sometimes I just want to putt along and go dump some garbage or putt along to the store, and maybe the kid wants to sit and ride with me. And he's like, as a family, it's good when you're riding these four-wheelers because anybody can get on one of any size and you can ride it straight away. But bikes were almost a little more exclusive, and he didn't feel like the family or the friends could just join in and be a part of the fun. So now, every weekend, he lives in Vegas, every weekend, he's out in the desert with, a whole bunch of his friends and brings the entire family. He bought the toy hauler trailer and brings the family out there. And he's made you know, a bigger thing of switching from two wheels to four wheels. And I think that's why you see this. I mean, this is such a great family sport.
Yeah.
All these people, all these families that come out here, it's, and I actually, I got to say, the guys that were working with us that, you know, from the snowcross side, they're used to the big rigs and the factory support. But the fact that these are all essentially privateers, except right. for very few, exactly. rolling in some of the rigs these guys roll in.
Oh,
this
yeah,
blows
man, it's amazing.
Your mind.
How do they do it? I don't get it. Is that just financed through the roof, I think?
I guess, dude. I don't know, man.
You need $250,000 on those tow trucks.
Yeah, I love when I pull up next to a guy yeah. and I'm like all excited because I've just got a new house and his motorhome costs more than my
but
new house.
You know, it's funny because the parents have done well and obviously they love the kids and they just, I mean, this is. This is so much better for your kids than a lot of things they could be doing
oh
as they grow
God.
Up. I mean, there's some pretty scary things out there. Riding a four-wheeler isn't one of them.
Well, this is
a great way to spend your time.
When you think about, you know, that there's, you know, obviously inherent risks in this kind of racing, in this kind of sport, and a lot of times people go, you know, we had an unfortunate incident this year where a kid, you know, lost his life earlier in the year, and I mean, I know it's a bummer, but my parents were at that race. It's the only one of maybe four races that they've shown up at. And my mom was just shocked. And the kid's dad told my mom, he goes, he spent his last moments with me, you know, which is, you know, growing up, I didn't have a conversation with my parents. You know what I mean? I was out running the streets acting like a maniac.
Yeah.
And you think about it, it's like, man, these kids, you know, realistically, yeah, you've got your kid out there, but I'd rather have a kid out here on a four-wheeler than doing drugs or acting, you know, just joining gangs or doing any of the big city stuff that we got into.
I love seeing these parents and what they do and the way the kids actually react to them. I mean, you know, right, you heard my cell phone ringing before. I'm actually late for dinner at Rocco Arno's massive trailer. But I'm telling you is Rocco is one of those great examples. Rocco Senior loves the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he rolls the whole family out to these things.
Yeah.
You know, how awesome is that? And he invited our entire staff.
Yeah.
He's cooked pasta tonight.
Dude, have you
30
ever eaten?
People.
No way.
And last night, you know, we were driving past, going to the dumpster or something. And, you know, they stop us because they've got, you know, fresh oysters. And they roll the whole thing. They bring Jersey out to the race.
They're insulted if you don't
Yeah,
show
no,
up.
The
absolutely.
Sad thing is it's so much better than, dude, you can't get a meal like they're cooking at an Olive Garden or at any of these supposedly Italian places.
Right,
you go to
yeah.
their pits, dude. Authentic. I mean, dude, just you'd think that they'd have they probably have a kitchen staff in that thing as big as that rig is, you know?
Good people.
Yeah.
For sure. I like them a lot.
But that seems to be the general, you know, that's the feel of ATV racing, man. It's a community. It's a, you know, the fact that everybody in this trailer has eaten at Rocco Arno's rig before, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's just the kind of people that are involved in this sport, you know?
So I was going to ask you, you did the MXI, ESPN Great Outdoor Games, which is the proper title for that. I think, was that the TV ratings that happened from that? Did that inspire WPSA? Because WPSA is basically snowmobiles, right?
WPSA are snowmobiles, but I mean, today's a great example. Joe Duncan, who is one of the founders of WPSA, raced that quad terrain class.
Yeah,
I think I put fourth or something. I mean, Joe's a racer, and regionally, WPSA or WSA as they were then, had done other motorsports events. You know, they've done hair scrambles and stuff like that. So they were moving. And again, there are people out there right now who are seeing the opportunity that ATV racing affords because we're a business.
Right.
There are a lot of other businesses out there. And we don't do everything in our life for love. There's obviously there's a financial component to all of this. So they too saw it. Hey, there's something out there. If ESPN is putting it on television, then it has to be something worth pursuing. So what happened was Great Outdoor Games just was a kickstart to so many other people's kind of latent ideas that were swirling around in their head. Everyone wanted to jump on it because as soon as ESPN will put something on their network, once you can get it on there, then you want to try and take advantage and keep it on there. Because
you readers that haven't seen the Great Outdoor Games, the coverage on it, you got to check it out. Go to racing, hover over racing, then go to open. And then, or other, and then find Great Outdoor Games. Click on it. It's really cool.
We got a question for Tess. Twisted wants to know. He wants to know basically how long the episodes of the races are going to be on ESPN2, and are you guys ever planning on showing any of the amateur classes?
The episodes are 1 hour, so there'll be 2 hours of Daniel Boone motocross because we're doing a doubleheader here, and the challenge of putting amateurs on television is that. A, what class would you do? And B, how do you fit a weekend of racing into an hour's worth of television, which is 40 some odd minutes, really. What we're doing is, from an amateur perspective, we want to show the lifestyle because we want people to understand what this is. Mm-hmm. But we've got to show our two pro classes, because obviously utility, right. Quad terrain is a class,
yep.
And the super quad pro 50, the pro motocross is a class. We need to do something to get more people into this sport. We've got to build heroes and villains that the people at home can know. And we have to do that with a pro class first. We've got to. People have to know who John Natale is. They've got to care about Doug Gust.
Right.
You know, they've got to know who's the kid. Who's the swimmer kid?
Right, right.
They need to understand, because right now they don't know. They've got absolutely no idea. They may know a James Stewart or a Ricky Carmichael.
Exactly.
But, you know, John Natale might be the first name they know because John was the guy that won the Great Outdoor Games and probably got the most press from it.
But that smile of his too, he can't.
Yeah, you know what? John is so phenomenal. When you hear him, I was sitting in the TV truck when John came off the course, and I think it was in his round in the heat race that he did, uh-huh. And he did an interview with Jerry Bernardo.
And that must have been good.
It was the funny thing was that he did this interview. And it was like he was reading from a script. I mean, the guy is so good with television and gives props to so many people that he's a gem. I mean, he's something that the sport really needs to grow.
Right.
And I think other guys will see him doing this stuff and think, you know what? I got to do that too. Well, I got to get the same sort of media set.
That's where I think, I think the fact that you guys have got guys like that, and once you start getting into their backstory and a little featurettes, I'm sure are going to be part of the show where... I think that's where people learn that there is other racing. You know, I'm sure when, you know, John didn't just become a pro. You know, he came through the amateur ranks, and I think that's where a lot of the amateurs will get their exposure, that's where the information will come from, and people will understand that there is amateur racing. Hopefully, they'll start looking more, you know, into it a little deeper. And
plus, obviously, as a media platform, we all want to build out from this. You know, working with ATV Scene, our own WPSARacing.com website, that sort of stuff. Builds out the available knowledge, because you may tune in on the weekend and watch this thing on ESPN2. So you watch it for an hour, but then we want to charge people to go to websites and learn more about it.
Right.
You know, and we can. And the beauty now is that we've got the technology. We can do this radio show. We can put the media we want to, the television media, the film can actually sit on the website, and people can watch it anytime. And the more opportunity we get to shoot the other classes, when you watch those 50s, I mean, people have never seen this stuff before.
Oh, yeah.
They love it. Oh, and there's
it looks like little helmets on wheels.
It really does. And the funniest thing is, people get amazed when the helmet comes off and it's a little girl.
Yeah.
You know, and little girls, I mean, you see these girls, they're just kicking ass.
Right.
It's great. I mean, it's really amazing. That's why we need to get further down into the amateur ranks as an understanding for the public.
It'll come.
Because they've seen a guy like John and go, wow, this is a really cool sport. Now, right. I care. It's like I started watching NASCAR about 3-4 years ago. Hey, I was watching it because I was trying to figure out why they were getting all of this sponsorship money.
You were trying to figure out how to turn left.
Turning left's all good. Hey, if Will Ferrell's into it, it can't be a bad thing. But then I actually got hooked because I started to care about I saw the same racers.
Right.
And you actually get kind of brought into the story, and it's like watching General Hospital or something. And even though you don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
You that's watch it because you're like, oh, man, what's going to happen this week? And that's what it became to me. That's what ATV racing needs to become to the general public, because then they'll be invested. And then, you know, look at Vegas NASCAR. 150,000 people go to one race weekend to watch a bunch of guys go left in cars.
Yep.
That's what it is.
We're slowly starting it with, 1 second, George, this is about you.
No.
We're slowly starting it with outside interest. George has Kellogg's. I don't think that's happened for a long time. But he's got Kellogg's on his team.
Yeah, they're one of the sponsors on the FMF Media All Star team this year.
It's,
I mean, when you think about that, it's like people are going, dude, what does cereal have to do with? And I'm like, cereal has to do with the lady that brought her kid to this race is going to the grocery store at some point. And she's going to see Kellogg's all over the place and decide that that's where she wants to put her money. The people that are backing the same sports that are backing her kid.
Same thing for us. You know, we've got Jack Links. We've got a beef jerky company in there. You were talking about it earlier. But the people who do these sports and the extension of all these sports, the people who buy pickup trucks, this is what you do. You
tools,
eat beef jerky. You
have
tools.
Man,
you eat cereal.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to go with the sport. to take it to the next level. And you know, so you know, maybe I can get one of these fancy motorhomes that you've got.
Hey, you know what, one thing that is going to take it to the next level is knowing when this race is airing. I think there's a lot of people on the forums right now that have no idea. You know, we haven't been, you need to start plugging some air dates here.
And 2 weeks it airs, I believe.
This one airs June 3rd.
Which is during the
Macon weekend. And then, I believe, I got to get it in my head, but June 3rd, I think the following weekend will be June 10th. That's 7 days later. That's my math skill.
What we try to do,
and ESPN has been great to work with on this, is that we have got this running on consecutive weekends, which means that it becomes appointment television. So you've been there once, you can go there again. It means that the fan can find it, and also people who habitually will be on, you know, the network at that time will start finding it. Once you start finding it a few times, you start looking for it because you want it.
Well, it's 80 million people, I believe, are going to watch this. Is that correct?
Well, actually, the households for ESPN, I think right now, and 2 and 1 are almost the same.
Right.
Is somewhere in the 100 plus. I think we were talking, we were doing an event, Mike Metzger jumped last
Vegas?
Week or the week before Vegas.
Oh, you were involved in that?
Metzger was jumping the fountains.
Right.
Yeah. And that was 155 million homes worldwide. I mean,
that's
ESPN
nuts.
Is bigger than just here. I mean, you know, they can take this program. If they want to, they take this program, they can air it in Korea.
Right.
Well, that, at what point are you guys going to work it out where we start getting on the ticker, you know, along the bottom of the ESPN screen, you know?
Yeah.
John,
you know,
first, you know.
When that happens, you'll know, because I'll probably pull up in a Bentley out here.
Exactly.
That's where we want to be, man.
The ticker's a hard place to get, if you know. I mean, like, NASCAR's a great example. I think NASCAR only, you know, NASCAR's in there now, but you very rarely see anything other than the major leagues in there.
Right.
Some college, you know, when it's in season, but
I'd
love to think we can get there.
Yeah. Some bird calling contests.
Now, there's another idea.
Yeah. The bird calling national.
Well, cool.
Well, Tess, I'm sure you got to get to dinner.
Since Rocco's already called me once, I don't want to upset him.
But, man, I appreciate it. Well, you got another quick question?
Yeah, one last question. Drew's19 wants to know, basically, how many pros were signed up, as well as how many entries there were today, and can you tell us any of the results from the classes, because we didn't post the results yet.
We're not telling anybody anything. If you weren't here, it's private knowledge,
dude. Show up for yourself, damn it.
If you want to know anything about pros, watch the television show June 3rd, ESPN2, because that's where you're going to see it all unfold.
More importantly, why do you name yourself Goose19 is what we want to know. Please respond back.
We'll cover that in a minute.
I gotta jump out of here, which is unfortunate, because I could probably talk all night.
But let's not make it look like we skirted the issue. Realistically, we had pretty full gates in all the classes, and
well, yeah. And for about the TV thing, weren't you guys talking about doing a big widescreen at Macon, Georgia? So if you come to the race in Macon, we want you to come, but people want to watch it too. Somebody said that they're going to bring a Jumbotron to Macon.
Well, I don't think we're going to bring a Jumbotron to Macon, because the cost of bringing a Jumbotron in there is absolutely phenomenal, and we'd rather spend it on the television production side so you can watch it on the little screen, or like you've got the big flat screen behind you.
So they can come to the ATV scene trailer and watch it on our plasma.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's
kind of funny because nobody has figured out yet. When you go past the TV truck, which, you know, on the way to the start and when you come out at the end of the race, there's actually a little television there right in the side of the TV truck, and you can watch the show as they're cutting it live.
Unreal.
So the best place to watch this race at this venue is actually the tiny little TV in the side of the TV truck that just plays. And I found there's one guy in his family, his kids, had figured it out, and he was standing there watching the race.
We're gonna be streaming bootleg video.
Don't tell him.
Oh, wait,
he's
no,
right here.
We're not streaming bootleg
he's right
video.
Here. No, we're not doing nothing like that. But no, that's cool. It's incredible what technology is going to do. Soon, we could probably wire wireless helmet cams on each guy, and depending on who's winning, you know, Doug Gust is winning, so let's go to Joe Bird's, or, you know,
that'd
whoever,
awesome.
And watch the actual footage that way, too. Well, pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, get your subscription to your On ATV. You want to ride along with John Natale?
Right
along.
Exactly.
Hey, just so we could suck up one more time, man, I just want to thank you for everything you guys are doing. Yeah, I mean, Bita, I'd say he's right up there with Rainbow Rob Baumsteiger, you know, at Rainbow Studios.
I know Rob very well.
As far as bringing, you know, ATVs into households, you know, I mean, you guys have two guys that came out of left field, out of nowhere, and are just changing the sport like you would not believe, and changing not only a sport, but the lives of guys like John and myself that are live and die for this sport.
You know what, though? I mean, the props go back, though, because, you know, Rob and I have both been fortunate, and we found guys like you who've actually helped us in this world. I mean, come on. I mean, how many times every week do I call you, George, with a stupid question? I call you, John? And it's the same sort of thing with you guys, Donnie Banks. I mean, Donnie's, I guess you could call him my mentor in this sport, and I'm really glad that I found Donnie. And, you know, it was a strange thing. It's when you look at this kind of this group of circumstances that led us here. ESPN finally said yes, and then I almost went into a tailspin because I'm like, man, what do I do now? Yeah. You know, first phone call was Davey Coombs. Davey Coombs says, call Donnie Banks, and look where it's gone.
Right. Well, that's worked out.
And on that note, I better go see Rocco Warner. Never want to upset.
Absolutely.
No, those guys are mobsters over there.
An Italian from Jersey. That's a bad thing to do.
They'll put a hit on you if you don't show
up. But, hey, and thanks to everybody. I love ATV scene. And you don't see me on the boards very often because I just get this feeling that if I ever post, it's going to start a flurry. But one thing I have to say.
Check out his interview.
One thing I have to say is Justin, who is our
media relations.
He is now, he's posting because we want to have a group effort in the answers that we get to the questions on the WPSA part of the forums. And I think that's working really well. Justin comes back to us and asks us specific questions.
Right on.
So we figure out whether it's tech issues or something else.
He's probably got the result before we do.
Well, so he needs to change his name to Johnny on the Spot. That guy, you put a question up there and 30 seconds later
You know what?
Yeah,
you know? He's a real motorsports pro. He's used to playing in the big leagues, and I think it's
cool that
out.
A promoter and an organization actually posts something on an internet forum, which the other way around, usually you get criticism. You know, they're just people, you know, thinking of it as a bitch session or whatever. But it's cool that people can go there and actually do good.
Yeah, they're interacting without having to go through any, you know, jumping through hoops or anything. They can just post their questions and get them answered immediately.
The people on your site are our customers. That's the consumer. Cool. And if you don't make the consumer happy, they're not going to be around very long. So thanks to everybody for, you know, all the support through Great Outdoor Games and a very, very long, hard road to get to this point. And I'm actually really, really looking forward to Monday night when I get home to my wife and actually get to go sleep in my own bed and maybe sleep a full 8 hours.
Yeah. And then you're off to another city. I know you travel all
over. I know, no kidding. Actually, I'm off to Georgia pretty quick, so I'll be enjoying Mr. Banks' hospitality.
All right, well, Testool, man, happy to have you. Happy that you've pioneered the new beginning of the sport. We've arrived, I believe.
The rebirth.
And you've been an instrumental part of it. People should read the interview and see and listen to this. We're going to archive all this, of course, and understand where it all came from. It was you.
Not just me. There's a whole bunch of people. You know that. I mean, there's an awful lot of people in orange shirts out there.
Right.
And,
you know, I actually saw the CEO of your of this company WPSA out there hanging banners, which is something that you would never see CEO on somebody's business card and a hammer in their hand.
What you missed, and Rick Murphy, who's our CEO, he's usually the guy that's, you know, he's got the loafers on and he's sitting in the boardroom, you know, working the deals.
Not this weekend.
Last night, I have to admit, at midnight last night, Rick was riding around. He would ride into the distance, into the dark, and go, I think we can put another sign here. And we finally said, Rick, we're all going home.
1 a.m.
But you know what, man? He's making sure this is an appealing package for sponsors and making it, dude, the signage that these sponsors that you guys have got so far are getting
The sponsors have paid money. What we do is we go around that track, we look at what we've got, we look in the television truck to look at what we've got, and we move things. And all day long, which is why I'm, you know, kind of grubby today, we keep moving stuff because it gets different camera shots.
Wow.
But that's what these guys have paid for. I mean, they've paid for that privilege, and so we want to satisfy that. And, you know, hopefully more people will jump on board, understanding that we're going to fulfill more than they've paid for. We're trying to give them that extra mile because it matters. We get these Joyce Julius reports that come out with our TV shows, and that's an independent audit of how many seconds or minutes you get on air. And that's what a sponsor wants to see, because that's value.
And that's something that, you know, as a team manager, just trying to get sponsors, landing a sponsor like Kellogg's this year, they want demographics, they want the info.
Absolutely.
You guys have actually got it, and not only that, I understand it's readily available to team managers. We could go over there and get a CD with everything, is what I was told today, and I mean that's
what we want to do.
Unprecedented, you know.
Yeah.
And once again, just for the listeners, you know, this is Pure Dirt. We're doing it from, what, round one, huh? The inaugural round of...
It's a celebration. This is a monumental day. You guys will understand why it's a monumental day in 2 weeks.
Yep, and you need to, if you've got any questions for John or myself, or, well, Tess is walking out the door.
Yeah.
But if you've got any questions, post them in the open forums. There's a thread. What's the thread called? Look around the open forums. It's in there.
Yep.
If you're smart enough to listen to this, you can do it.
I'm running. I said goodbye 1,000 times. I really mean it.
He's really gone this time.
Rocco's glass of wine is gone.
He's going to be at Horse Barn and Hoffa in a minute if he's not he's not on time.
While Tess is going to eat dinner and hang out with Rocco Arno crew and enjoy the Italian atmosphere, we're going to go to some sound bites that we recorded earlier here. So we've heard about all of us, or what we've thought about this thing, but the future of ATV racing, what does John Natale have to think about it? We went and got some information from him. So Brad, can queue up the John Natale conversation, see what we've got from him. I know he was talking about how this is a monumental day, and I think, why talk about it? Why not just hear it right from John? Here's what John Natale had to say earlier.
Yeah, it's definitely going to grow. I mean, for the first race and with all the problems they had with scheduling and things that people didn't know what was going on, you know, the schedule come out a little late and a lot of people have lives that they got to, you know, start working on and doing things with. So, you know, a lot of them couldn't plan to hit all these races. But I think as the season progresses, we're going to see more and more riders coming to these things once they hear how great it was. And yeah, it very well could possibly be a premier series. I mean, you know, these guys... are out to make us better and you know, of course, make their TV coverage better. So I think everything's working good for us.
Oh, there you go. There's John Natale. And what do we have to say about John Natale?
To be completely honest, as the soundbite was going on, I was doing everything, but I was thinking everything. I'm sure it was something along the lines of the sport's great.
Oh, we've
got stuff going on, and this sport's, you know, the series is going in the right direction.
John goes to, I don't think there's a racer out there that races more than John Natale. He's at the GNCC, he's at Endurance. That's why he's Iron Man. It's so proper. But,
You know, John's whole thing is, you know, as Tess was saying, he's like the golden boy for this, man. I mean, he's, if there was ever anybody that was cut out for this, the guy's got, you know, the physical, he's mentally sharp, he's well-spoken, you know, he comes off and you would think that he's got a little mic in his ear. I mean,
say the right thing. Yeah, say the proper thing every time. Yeah.
He's got. I just butchered that whole statement. But you would think that somebody's holding up cue cards for the guy, because the guy is he's always just nails it. You know, unlike me, I'm a stuttering idiot.
Easy on yourself. All right. Well, we got a break here for Joe. Joe's got. Forum question? What is it, Joe?
Yeah, well, Mini Quad 22 posted a question. Unfortunately, Tess, you know, has already checked out. He was wanting to know if these guys were working on a schedule for next year already, and he was also very happy to tell us that we'd be seeing him in 2 weeks at the next round of the series. And,
awesome.
What do you guys think? Do you think they're already working on something for next year?
Yeah, I spoke to the CEO.
Hopefully,
Rick
it's 18
today.
Rounds or anything crazy like that.
I spoke to Rick Murphy today, and he was sitting in our. He did something which I've never seen at a race. The CEO came to each and everybody's pits I don't know how many he got to, but he got to ours and spent about 45 minutes with us.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we're asking us what we thought and trying to get our feedback and just trying to get a general feel for what the racers are feeling. And he told us that they're trying to have a schedule out by the end of this series, that before the 2006 series wraps up, they will have a 2007 schedule. He said it would most probably be 10 rounds again, which is how many rounds do we have this year?
It's cool. It's a 10 round series, but we're at only 7 stops.
Right. Well, I think next year we'll have 10 stops. Is what Rick
I hope
Murphy
we don't go
saying.
Any more than that.
No, and you know, I expressed that to him, and he said that they were very, very aware of how riders feel about it, and that.
It took me $1,200 to get the trailer out here from California. People can't afford to go to these things every week. I mean, seven is good for me.
We use a stolen gas card, and I got here. It didn't cost us a dime.
Where'd you get one of those?
It was awesome, yeah.
Man, I need one of those. All right,
and if anybody sees an Amber Alert about a kid in a FMF rig, it had nothing to do with us. That was the other rig.
Okay, let's go back to some sound bites. Brad, can you cue up Donnie Banks? I think Donnie was instrumental in all this, and here's what Donnie Banks had to say today.
Something big, you know, and like I said, there's a whole lot more to come.
Well, that was about short but sweet.
We got more. There's more to it. We're supposed to comment on it after.
Oh, are we?
He's got more. Johnny was in the utility race.
Yeah, that
the Bulldog Banks. It's so cool to see him. He's, of course, he's hanging off the rear of the bumper like he used to.
Oh, dude, he's doesn't 47 need, and a half years old, yep. And just it's so out cool. There smoking.
He doesn't need a number or anything. You just know who it is every time because he's out there. Yeah. But he, him and Jim Stack had a good race, and so did him
and Rath.
Daryl Rath.
Yeah, Donnie, I mean, they were banging bars out there. Those guys, they were doing stuff on those utility quads that I didn't think was possible. I was like, all right, dude, these guys are coming off for sure. And they were bouncing all over the place out of control, cool, but it was cars. Awesome.
It was total mayhem out there. I mean, the railroad ties and or the telephone poles. But
you know what, on Donnie's comment, though, I mean, what he said, what it's the fear that this is the beginning of something, you know, something huge. And I mean, he couldn't be righter. I mean, this is just everybody. It's weird, man. Everybody that's been walking around the pits has just had this. It's been just like an enlightening
shit
weekend.
Shit eating grin on their face.
Yeah, everybody's just, yeah. And it's funny, and you know, not to get into politics or do anything, but everybody. I don't think there's a question as to where everybody that's here is going to be next year. You know what I mean? I mean, I think this pretty much opened everybody's eyes, and it showed that it's a real series, and that you know, all the skeptics are. They're going to have to put their tails between their legs because, dude, you know, it's on. You know?
Well, talking about Donnie, we've got more from Donnie, and we'll go to Donnie here in 1 second.
It's scary to know. This guy, Rick Myers, has got a whole lot more in store, a lot more that I really can't talk about right now, but it's really, let me see how to say, really, really, really big.
Really?
It's bigger than you know.
Really?
Yeah, but you didn't hear it from me.
Wow.
Well, don't tell Donnie any secrets because apparently he can't keep his mouth shut.
Wow. Well, it looks like we've stumbled upon something.
You
got any more of that, Brad? What's going on there? That sounds like he wants to say something, but he can't.
That sounded like Gomer Pyle had some kind of secret.
Well, you got to look past.
And they said the word really a lot.
You got to look past the Georgia stuff.
That was really, 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 really big, apparently.
To me, it sounds like there's something going on. We almost got it out of him. We got to work on him. Give him some beer or something tonight. We'll get it out of him.
Yeah, no,
what's going on with that?
You know, the one thing about Donnie is, you know, he's a Southern guy, a little brash, but dude, if Donnie says it, it's usually, you know, there's something to it. You know, when he came at us with this crazy great outdoor game scheme and all that last year, I was like, whatever, dude. Yeah. And look where we're at now. Exactly. So, I mean, he may be 9 feet tall and look like a grasshopper, but he's you know.
You gotta love him to death.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We talk almost daily. I always crack up talking to him and stuff. He's cool. But we got more on Donnie. Donnie kind of compared what we're doing here this weekend to Snowcross. So here's what he had to say about how this compares to Snowcross.
Today is the start of something new, something big. You know, and like I said, there's a whole lot more to come.
Oh, apparently Donnie repeats himself a lot. That was, you know, we're just so good here at ATVC, and we wanted to make sure that nobody misses anything, so we're going to replay everything twice.
Yeah, you better sit. I don't think they got it. Let's do it again.
Right,
screw it. Do it again. Do it again.
Here we go.
This weekend, the snowmobile guys have learned from the ATV guys, and we've learned. We've also learned from the snowmobile guys.
Right.
You know, and it's been really interesting so far, and I'm telling you, it's just we have barely even scratched the surface.
I know what he meant by that.
I've got it
figured out. Yeah, man. I know Donnie code. Snowmobile guys apparently race on snow. And we're racing on dirt, and that's huge. So
I was excited. I thought he really did this.
No, dude, I have no idea what he's babbling about.
Because I always look deeper into something. I think.
Well, he's just scratching the surface, John.
Something. I want to know what he's got up his sleeve. Damn it.
That elusive Donnie Banks. Hey, this. You know what? We're like real radio guys. We got teasers now. Find out what Donnie Banks meant in a minute.
Okay. Well, we've got. This is an interactive show. We've got another forum question. Let's go to it.
You guys are. You probably know Jeff Stess, right, from the Cross Country series?
Right on.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, right. Guy that owns a quad shop. Well, he was wondering if you guys could explain a little bit about the quad train challenge, you know, with his cross country experience. He's interested in coming out and trying one out, and would like to know what it's all about. And he also wanted me to make sure that he's, you know, I send you props from him.
Oh, cool. Well, it was bitching. That's in two words, bitching.
I can describe it, dude.
It was... Go ahead.
It's everything that you do at a race with your pit bike that you're not supposed to, But sanctioned, and you get a check at the end for it.
A big check.
Yeah, dude, it was huge.
$2,000 to the winner.
No, it was, I mean, in all reality, man. It was just impressive. It was there was portions of the motocross course. They incorporated the infields.
We got video. We'll have it in, Joe, how long till the video's up on this quad terrain? It's the proper name, quad terrain.
What's the question again?
That's my own question. I'm wondering how, people want to see this. You got to see this. It's total mayhem. You got big, huge telephone poles planted in the middle of a big mud puddle.
Oh, yeah.
And their quads going sideways, guy going over the bars. If you think you got some talent and you got some game to come show up, we're going to have some, this thing's going to grow.
Yeah, and everybody, I mean, on it, we were watching it. Dunk was up in the booth with us, which, dude, that's, while Banger was announcing. And Dunk was like, man, I got to get a utility quad. And, you know, Wimmer was talking about it. Natalie's talking about it. And, I mean, it's just, realistically, the course was, like I said, mostly cool. Motocross.
Off-camber, you know, stuff, around a tree in the middle of a ravine.
Yeah, but cool. None of the big jumps, though. I mean, they weren't doing many of the big jumps.
They were going through the whoop section.
Yeah, they did the whoop section. They did that log crossing thing. Yep. They did
rocks.
There was rocks. There was, I mean, yeah, a little bit of everything. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be a GNCC guy I wouldn't think would have any kind of advantage. You know, just a well-skilled, well-rounded, you know, ATV rider seems like it would be. It's a pretty level playing field. You know, I don't think a motocross guy is going to go out there and dominate. I don't think a GNCC guy is going
to
dominate.
I can't wait to find that out, because there's some good talent out there. The Kilby, Jim Stack.
Oh, yeah.
These guys know what they're doing on a four-wheel drive, and then they're going to go up against somebody like Dunkelberger or Dwimmer or Natalia.
But,
be good.
That's just it, though. I don't think that either one of them is going to have an advantage, man. The way that course is set up, it's just it seemed like there was a little bit of everything. Anybody that can ride a utility quad well is going to do well in one of those.
Right. Well, earlier we got a little conversation from Jim Stack. If you guys know Jim Stack, you know you're in for a treat. In fact, we've got Jim Stack. I think he's outside the trailer. We'll get a word with him in a minute.
Actually, the soundbite was a reaction that we got from him when he first came off the track after he was out there battling with Donnie Banks. It was a pretty incredible battle. I was out there filming it. I'll have something on the scene for it, you know, early next week with the race report. But he was pretty excited when he came off. You got to hear it.
They weren't excitement, dude. Cool, I gave it to him. It's not going to be Doug Gustin, it's Alex. It's going to be Stack. It's going to be Brock Parker. It's going to be Kilby when he comes down here.
I'm going to whoop them all just like I whooped them.
Oh, you can't be a Honda, can you? Bruce Hoos will be, look at this. Come talk to me. Bring your money.
I told you, if you don't know Stack, you better ask somebody.
All right, now we got WWF involved.
Oh, yeah. Jim is like, well, call him up. Where is Jim at? Let's call him up right now. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think, he may have been the most vocal, but I think everybody that rode the thing came off with just huge grins, man, ear-to-ear grins, and, I mean, the fences were packed, you know, everybody was watching the thing. It was funny, I never expected to see the crowd be as big for the pro race, for the utility race as it was for the pro race. You know, everybody was lining the fences watching it.
How many riders do you think we could have?
Oh, it'll be, dude, I'm telling you, after this weekend, the way everybody saw it and the way everybody... Everybody's going home looking at their pit bike as something different, you know. They're going, I got a race bike now.
Will John Attali really risk going out and throwing himself over the bars, getting landed on a 780-pound machine and losing his championship to race a four-wheel drive, do you think?
Yeah, dude. I think these guys, you know what, man, we all do this because we love it. You know, the check at the end of the day for a lot of these guys is great, but, I mean, you know, being realistic about it, a lot of people aren't paying the bills doing this sport, and a lot of us, you know, we're just doing it because we love it, and I think that's where you're going to get these guys. You're going to get these guys that they've been coming to races for years and not having fun, you know, and all of a sudden now they've got something that they can do in between their stressful races and actually enjoy themselves.
I can't wait to see. That's going to be a race. You got Natalie versus Jim Stack.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, that's... That should be on pay-per-view.
Oh, in fact, I'm going to call Jim.
Steel
right
cage
now.
Death match.
We got to get him in here, because you guys, if you don't know Jim, he's not scared to say it how it is. So
oh no.
Why not bring him in? I think he was just walking by.
He's like Shane Hit on a utility quad. You know.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
But a little even more vocal.
Oh yeah. And bigger and scarier.
Yeah.
Because if Shane was big and scary, I'd run.
Well, he's supposed to. He might be out with. One of the girls. I think he got a date.
One of the Hawaiian Tropic
girls?
Yeah,
he actually had a date with one of the Hawaiian Tropic girls. But let's try to get... Here he is. Jim. Sweet, we do. We have Jim on the phone. Come on in here for a minute. Jim's going to come in the trailer and come on down. We want to get
you. Well, John's politicking on the phone trying to get Jim Stack to come in here. Joe Magoo and I are sitting here, and Joe is hovering over me and with his ninja-like skills.
Yeah, he said he's coming.
I want to hear what he's got to say.
Well, there was two things. Jeff Stess kind of sent a reply on the forums thanking us for the, you know, answering his question. And he said as soon as he heard the word mud that he was all about it and he plans on trying to make a few of these rounds. So looks like Stack might have some competition from Jeff Stess coming down. I don't know what he's planning on riding, but it should be interesting. He's a fast rider.
Jeff's a hell of a rider.
From what I understand, tomorrow a lot of the GNCC guys are coming. You know, I heard they race today, I guess. And I'm hearing that tons of them are on their way over here.
Yep.
Also, Trap Z400 was on there. I guess with the whole thing being such a fiasco, combining, you know, because the whole terrain challenge is sort of a mini cross-country kind of course. And we're doing the motocross racing here, of course. So I guess Trap Z400 is looking to bring everything that's involved with the sport all into one show. And he's wondering if, you know, if there might end up being some freestyle involved in this at some point. I haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't heard anything about freestyle, but what I would have liked to see today is Dana Creech in that Rhino Craft. Rhino, he said he was like, I'll do the six-pack if they'll let me do it. And
poor Dana. Did you see what he did to his arm, his hand?
Oh, yeah. He got his. Yeah, that's something. That's breaking news for you for him, guys. Creech comes out here. He's ready to go. And his dog, Moto, which is, you know, it's been a staple on the racing scene for years, probably the most beloved dog in ATV racing, was a... was on his leash, and another dog came up and tried to fight Moto, and Dana tried to break it up, and inadvertently got bit, and ended up with a pretty nasty hole in his hand, and the doctors told him, stitches. You know, not to ride. No, he didn't get stitches. They said they wanted to leave it open for the, you know, let it, the infection or whatever come out, and Dana went out and trooped it, as he always does,
right,
you know, the,
right.
The king of riding injured.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Yeah, he rode pretty good today. I mean, for considering he had a gaping wound in his hand.
Couldn't close his hand. He had a cast on it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was kind of like a wrap kind of deal, just about an inch of gauze. And it was just real rough looking. It looked like he was riding with a boxing glove on. But he still went out there, and he still had more style than almost anybody out there. I mean, hucking a table of two and turning it sideways and looking in the crowd and putting on a show. And that's why we love Creech.
I hear a big utility coming. You know who it is. Door's going to pound open. Yeah, what do you want? I anticipate how you're going to
It's going to be Stack.
You've never met Jim Stack.
No, I might run.
So this, yeah, he might offend you. Be ready.
It's okay.
So it's good, though. He's a character.
I got Joe the Ninja Magoo.
Like him or love him. He's love him
on my side.
He's something else. But let's see. What
hey, you know, there are some things that, man, I mean, I don't want to just blow by all of this. Well, for one, let's remind the listeners, anybody that's just tuning in right now.
Pure Dirt. We should do a station identity. We don't even have any. Who are we brought to you by?
We're Pure Dirt.
We have no.
Brought to you by ATVC.
We have no sponsors. We have no station identity. This is just
off the cuff.
Geez.
We're sitting here in a Weekend Warrior trailer in the middle of Kentucky with the guys from ATV Insider and ATVC and staff. Brad Phillips is back there, which we've got to get his mouth on here any minute now.
We got the Carpe Diem Fame Premise Industries. He'll come on for a minute.
Yep.
Time. Geez, we're chewing up. I thought, what are we going to talk about for a whole hour?
I don't know, but
it's just shooting right by.
If anybody's got any questions, feel free to post them on the forums under open forum, and we'll try to respond to them if it's
Jim.
If it's nice.
All right, he's here. We got Jim Stack. He's
I rode hard all day, and you're going to put me in a wooden stool?
Oh, God. All right. First off, we'll talk about the Mist Moto a little later.
He's apparently not sponsored by Timex or Casio, from what I understand. I'm going to get punched in the face right off the bat.
By the way, that's George Cortes. One leg of George, they call him. Nice, you know who that is. It's George Cortes. That's warm.
All right, there, John's being the host with the most here. Yeah. You got a refrigerator.
No beer, by the way. Yeah. All water.
Did you bring the Hawaiian Tropic girl you're supposed to be dating tonight?
No, not a Hawaiian Tropic girl, ESPN girl.
Oh, well, where is she?
I don't know. I think she's standing me up. Oh, the phone hasn't rang.
Yeah.
The phone's rang.
Oh, you had some good scoop. I thought you had some good scoop for us.
I was hoping to. I was working on it.
All right. Well, anyway.
I was hoping it wasn't the one with the Adam's apple.
We were talking earlier. John Italy's going to start riding a utility quad. You scared?
Hardly. Michelle Reiser better be scared for him, because we're going to be banging bars and getting it on. Is Big John coming out for me? Does he want a piece?
I think so. I think there's
another. I'm going to call. Should we call him right now? We'll get him on here. I'll call him.
We don't have time. We got too many other guests. We got too much to do, but we'll get him another time. But yeah,
that'd be great. Hey.
You should be flattered, though. We bumped Natalie for you.
They saw what's going on. They love it. They want to do it. Who else was saying wants to?
Dunk, Wimmer, Dunk. All of them.
They want some.
Yeah, everybody, dude. Everybody.
They want a piece of the heavyweight champ. Well, Borich has got coming. Chris didn't know if the pros could run, and he told me that he wants to get a bike and try
tomorrow.
And give it a shot. Not tomorrow. He's going to try and work on getting one this week. He's got to run it by, you know, American Honda.
Tomorrow?
We got Cliff Beasley, Scott Kilby, awesome. Ken Roby, you know, the utility stock champion last year.
That's
Roby.
Those are all the heavy hitters, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
the big guns are coming. Yeah, Kevin Johnson's coming. You know, he's going to be on.
Is Brock coming?
Brock hurt himself today. Brock took his shot. Yeah.
Who won?
Breaking news. Yeah, Marcus Gonzalez. Speedy Gonzalez. My boy Marcus.
You probably got a phone. What was the news on GNCC today?
Who won? Jenks won. Jenks first. I don't know who was.
Awesome.
That's all I know. Yeah, Jenks. I know Chris broke a tie rod in the third turn in the motocross as soon as the race started. So.
Did you wish you were there, or were you happy with your decision?
I'm pissed about that, I can tell you that.
What was that like?
No, I'm happy. I mean, the ESPN guys are happy with me. They like the performance.
So you won your heat. You came back and you passed Donnie
Banks. Oh, I smoked him.
Yeah.
Well, Darryl Rath, man.
It wasn't easy. You had to pass to get there.
I had to pass a bunch of ham and eggers. I mean, I worked my way right up through the pack.
Ham and eggers. I like that.
I made it happen. I mean, I don't have the power some of these guys got. Darryl Rath, he's on the Arctic Cat. Some of these other, who else is on? Donnie's on that King Quad?
He's on that.
Yeah, a lot more power than what I got. So, I mean, I'm struggling out of the box. Everybody can see I'm, I'm getting smoked. So,
so
I'm making power moves.
You
making
had to sit there and watch
what
your ref beat.
Oh, Honda. There's nothing else. Is there anything else?
No.
Honda rate.
You guys have that in common, both the Honda deal.
Yep.
So maybe you will get on.
I wonder if Bruce Ogilvie's listening.
We
Bruce, can you hear me? Listen, I'm tapping the microphone. We got to get a couple rain guns here, Bruce.
At least a couple.
At least a couple, because if you see me on, when you turn on your TV, you're going to fall off the same stool I'm sitting on. You're going to be on the floor. I'll do things that you've never seen before.
I've already been working them. I'm calling everybody. We need utility bikes. What for?
You watched the 450 motocross. You were a spectator.
I was a spectator.
I
was a spectator all day except for two heat races.
You participated in not even practice.
No, I didn't even make practice.
So perfect. You got to watch this thing unwrap. What's going to be bigger? I know you were saying earlier you thought this thing.
Nothing's going to be bigger. This is going to be big. These guys are ready. Tess is ready to make some moves, make some changes. I mean, it's going to grow. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, what these bikes can do. And it's tough. I mean, those logs are tough, those rocks are tough, but they're not that tough. I mean, we can get serious. I mean, super serious.
So this is a lame course.
This is lame what it's going to be. It's going to, yeah.
Were they listening to you? Yeah, I know you were talking to someone about what
they should be doing. They were listening. They were definitely listening.
So this stuff's going to be where you can't even finish a lap. That's what you're
I'll be able to finish. I mean, I don't know about any other brands, but the Honda's going to make it around.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Bombardiers, they're going to be busted all to pieces. I mean, and frames, it's like a piece of, you know, their frames are like this. They just crinkle like that cup. You hear that?
Actual sound.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
That's a heavy quad for him to be lifting over his head and crinkling like that.
I told you, this guy's something else.
But they leave enough parts and debris behind. That was just, you know, one of the pieces.
Well, you guys were bouncing through those whoop sections. It was just ridiculous looking, but...
Well, he was watching. Well,
I
they
was
were.
Watching.
He was just
no, he too watched the heat races.
Darryl was rolling. Darryl picked it up in heat too. He knew he had to step his game up, and I think he had all the Arctic Cat guys down there scratching.
We have Donnie Banks comment on the TT race. What do you call it? I can just tell you what he said. Funny as hell. Did you hear him on the podium?
On the podium?
He's talking about Darryl Rath, and it wasn't fair because it's not fair. The course was really catered to
a TT racer, and his setup wasn't right.
Yeah.
He was just joking.
All right. So that's the, I don't know what Rath, I didn't know what his background was. Darryl,
TT.
That's TT?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah
Rath's all right, a, all right.
Yeah, he finished what, sixth at the first TT this year?
Well, Donnie stole my line. That's my new line. Yeah, it's catered to TT. That's why I got whooped in the second heat. He's got a hell of a caper going here.
Let me ask you, what do you guys think of that the scoring system or the heat, like the format? It's a little confusing this weekend. You know, I have no idea how many heats
are. I thought
when
you said scoring, I thought you meant the transponder.
Transponder
is good.
No, not the scoring, but
scored.
I love it.
Don't you wait in line?
It's the GNC. All the ground I put on, and I'm sitting there, you know, and they're just waiting to scan.
And then you got to go, the guy's right behind you.
The guy's, and then you turn around, and all the ground you just put down on him, he's right on your back door, and then you got to stretch it out again.
The guy's dust in front of you.
Oh. Yeah, and then, the guy's like, I don't know.
Why do the GNCCs do transplant? I don't know. They will.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that it's the most logical thing.
Why are the women starting on the front row in the morning? That's what I wondered, because it's ran by women. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
That's funny.
I don't know. But the transponders is the way of the future. I mean, and so is this circuit. The WPSA, I mean.
Do you think you'll see riders switching with that said? And not, because a lot of these conflict today, you chose to come here and not to the GNCC.
Yeah, I did. I hurt my back, you know, a little while ago, so it took me out of a couple of nationals. And I figured I was kind of out of the points, so I've got a good chance to come here and start maybe working on a championship here and making something happen. Well, hell, I guess I got to get to the starting line first.
Yeah. We got to get you that Casio sponsorship. Casio and Timex, if you're listening.
Casio. I'm thinking the Red Bull Rincon.
Uh-huh. That's hey, let's thinking. Get bling bling on it. Rolex, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
The Rolex Rincon, dude.
That's got a good sound. All gold. You know what I mean?
Oh, scam on the women with that. That'd
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Easily, all those Hawaiian tropic girls.
That's pimp. Grab the motor a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, there's an option. I mean, I think everybody's going to be coming on board. I mean, Monster Energy, they're into a lot of this stuff, so who knows if they might step it up.
It seems, I don't know.
What are you looking at here, Porton?
These guys are, John's
well, we got
Kitty
sound
Porton.
Bites. No, okay, that's the other. Bites, that's the bites. Other screen. We've got that.
I thought it was an adult site.
Alan White!
We got Alan White. What's he got? I'm seeing this for the first time, too, guys. Joe Magoo went out and he got a bunch of audio bites.
He's got a big head, doesn't he?
AW?
Oh, Jughead's what I call him.
You gotta love him.
Oh, he's the best. He's my buddy. Oh, he's great.
In case you don't know who Alan White is, he's the Corey Ellis' mechanic, so he's back to Yamaha wrench.
He's great. Alan's the man.
But, yeah, we're just going through some of these sound bites. What do we got? We have anything interesting, Joe?
What is Harlan calling?
What should we queue up?
Oh, man. He said the H. Hang up. Sorry, we got to go.
Who is he?
No.
That's
anyway,
awesome.
Well, what are we going to do next here? Like, this is live.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that we haven't been.
Want to go to
Alan? Oh, I guess we're going to Alan White now.
Right, what does Alan White have to say? Give us a rundown, Joe. What is this Alan White thing, anyway?
Run, Joe. He's all the way at the other end of the Weekend Warrior.
You collected some audio from people asking them about something.
Yeah, I was walking around trying to collect people's opinions on what they think of the race. Apparently Alan White was helping me with my job because, you know, I went over and talked to him and started asking him what he thought about the series. And he kind of commented that, you know, he had talked to a lot of different people that were here and that, you know, they had some comments as well.
Talked to many people today, you know, not only my rider Corey Ellis, but many of the other mechanics, you know, the other media have just commented how great this, you know, is turning out. Anyone from George Cortez to Dave Screws to, you know, all the people out here, Wayne Henson, they've all just thought, you know, today went really well, and hopefully this series is going to take off and it will be a better day tomorrow.
I mean, he couldn't be righter. I mean, everybody, that seems to be a general consensus in the pits. Everybody seems pretty excited. Everybody seems like pretty stoked on the whole thing, man. Everybody's...
you know, it can't be any worse for me tomorrow.
Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting day tomorrow.
It's gonna be good, and we got, like I said, the heavy hitters. Some of them, they're coming down. I mean, everybody's looking good at the 450 in the motocross. Natalie's flying, Gust is strolling. Everybody's getting it on. They want to make it look good for television, and they're doing it. Man. I think we're all going about our job.
How about that track, man? With the table of two, and I mean, this year, did you notice the B class? Half the B class was jumping table of two, table for two, whatever you want to call the thing.
That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, it's a huge jump, man. I mean,
did you ever see the movie Ringer, though? You know what I mean?
Ringer.
You know what I mean? Could they are they really truly B guys?
Yeah.
But they were doing it regardless. They were They were doing it.
I remember coming here years ago and nobody would really? Even, you know, half the pros weren't jumping in.
That just shows, you know, how things have stepped up. And
I don't know, man. That was pretty cool this weekend.
I guess they're pausing me. There's supposed to be more Alan White. What are you saying here? There's something else? I don't know.
Here, you guys work it out off mic, and we'll keep talking about all the good stuff that's going on mic, man.
Well, you know, since this is pure dirt, you know, I was kind of surprised when I was in there talking to Alan, because, you know, mentioning George Cortez and you know, Henson, it's, you know, that's no big surprise that these guys are, you know, supporters of this series, because it's a new opportunity for their riders, it's a new opportunity, you know, for their teams, and, you know, but, you know, Dave Screws, it's kind of, you know, he's supposed to be an unbiased journalist, and I have no reason to believe that he's not. You know, only simply the fact that he works as a commentator for the GNC series. You know, and I was really impressed about the fact that Alan White was sitting there telling me that, you know, ATV Racing Extra, the G doesn't work on this keyboard, but that's all right, you know, was sitting here saying positive things about this new series. And I was really surprised and ecstatic, and I thought, you know, I had to hear it for myself. So I approached him today, and I tried to get him to, you know, to kind of give me his opinion on it, and, you know, here's what he had to say.
What do you think about what they've done this weekend?
See, that I don't.
You have no
idea. It's not at liberty to say right now. Too early in the game, man.
Holy shit. Screws ain't got nothing to say?
Now, like I said, you're impressed with these guys. That's hearsay.
Oh, come on.
I know that's why I'm doing you the way I'm doing you, yeah. No comment. When I see the television, think about it responsibly, okay? Responsibly. First time they ever had one.
Why did you start doing responsible reporting? Why did you expect them to?
About 2 seconds ago, Jack, shut up. To give these people a fair shake at what they're attempting to do, I don't think anyone should formulate any opinions or express any opinions until they see the actual outcome. That's what they're about, making television.
What do you think about the organization of it, though? What do you think of running good? No, no, no?
Not yet, man.
No nuts on TV? Alright, that's cool, man.
Well, you probably couldn't hear it really well because he was kind of walking away through the whole thing. You know, I didn't... Obviously, we can't say at this point that this is the do-all, end-all, and it's everything that there is. But, you know, it's such a good, positive start. And I just kind of wanted to find out, you know, what he'd said to Alan White. And because, like I said, working for the GNC series, it seems like there's kind of a conflict of interest. And, you know, what... You know, I wanted to see what he had to say. Obviously... You know, he seems really reluctant to say anything that might come out in the media. I'll be really interested to see, you know, what he says in his own publication, because it almost seems like, you know, he could be shooting himself in the foot. And obviously he had nothing to say today.
So. Well, I mean, being that he had nothing to say, I mean, realistically, let's not even talk about the dude. You know, there's, you know, let's not even get into politics or the craziness. You know, the bottom line is, you know, he said one statement that he did make was that, you know, we've got to wait to see how it plays out. And realistically, the way it played out today was great. And, you know, it's undeniable, and there's no, you can't put a spin on it, and we're not trying to spin it. You know, we're certainly, you know, I'm not even going to lie. I'm biased. I'm biased as hell. You know, I love this. I'm being treated with respect. We're being treated great. The, you know, good racing done in a timely fashion. Dude, the voice of the GNCs is back, and it's banger, and he's the voice of ATV racing. Dude, we could get rid of the whole GNC thing. He is the voice of ATV racing. The guy announced... You know, it didn't take him 4 laps to figure out who any rider was. I mean, dude, these guys weren't making it 100 yards from the drop of the starting gate. And Banger had backstories on him and knew who everybody was. And just by their riding styles or by their numbers, which is something that we're lacking right now in other places. And, I mean, to keep it apolitical, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's, Banger's going to have another commentary with Robbie Powers.
Awesome.
Who's, yeah.
Robbie Powers, I mean, he
does... These are real announcers that know what they're doing.
Well, Robbie Powers does... I mean, he covers, like, the Kona Ironman, you know what I mean? Like, that huge triathlon in Hawaii. That's one of the hugest sporting events, and he's the announcer for that. I mean, Robbie's awesome, Banger's awesome, but, yeah, let's keep it on the positive, and,
Yeah, it's cool. What your point was, it's cool to see him back out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see him here, dude. You know,
we've got some more sound bites for him, just told. We've got Jerry Habel, who is the owner of Daniel Boone in London, who is kind of unfortunate. He lost his GNC, but then this opportunity
but
came.
But, you know what? In all fairness to, you know, the way things played out with Jerry, I do think that this facility had been kind of outgrown. You know, I mean, it's a smaller facility. The parking's a little bit smaller. The track is awesome. A lot of the riders love it.
Well, he was always committed. He was always parking. He'll do it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Jerry is that he's one of these guys that's been a supporter of ATV racing for a long time.
Right.
And here he is. He's got, you know, an ESPN event at his place. Something that, you know, he did races for years and years and years, and they never went anywhere. You know, as far as beyond, you know, yeah, he was he had his track in London, Kentucky. Everybody knew about it, but I mean, dude, he just went. No, he just took a huge step up. Like, I mean,
Dude, Daniel Boone, this is something that, that people are going to, you know, ESPN viewers, when they come to Kentucky, they might want to come check out, you know?
I think he told me he thanked the people that disapproved his national this year because this was a building step for him. It was instrumental, and he's thrilled. But yeah. You know what? He also lost all of his stuff. He doesn't have his Letterland qualifier. He doesn't have any of the stuff that he used to have. So this was do or die, and it actually...
Well, I'm glad that this series is able to help out a guy that's been helping us out as racers for years. Exactly. You know, the guy, he's always been really open. I mean, a lot of times we would come here and he'd let us stay an extra day, you know, rather than having to pack up Sunday. We'd stay Monday and ride all day Monday, and he'd be out there working the track for us, you know, which is
one of the better promoters that I've ever. And what about the spectators in the past GNCs?
Oh, my God.
This race has been one of the best. He's done his homework.
Well, when you look at what the stops on this tour, you know, it just seems like, I don't want to sound like the propaganda machine for the tour, but realistically, dude, we're going to all the places that racers like going. You know, there's a lot of tracks on other schedules that people hate going to, but you know,
isn't there a big stink about this in the forums
about coming to Danny
about Boone? Not having London and then all of a sudden people wanted it.
I mean, and I guess it's been kind of like the MO for the way the WPSA is running things. It seems like every time, you know, there was a big stink about the open classes. You know, people were saying, it wasn't the open classes, it was the hybrid machines.
Right.
Being that it was a production-only series, people posted it on your forums, and you know, it got changed. They're allowing the hybrids in the open classes now. Well, and it's nice to be listened to.
Right now. Well, let's go to Jerry, see what he had to say today.
And my thoughts on the World Power Sports ATV Tour is I believe it is the next step. Just what the riders have been looking for, a company that is into snowcross, that knows what they're doing. This thing almost looks like a supercross race. The equipment they brought in to dress this track up. I think this is the future of ATV racing, TV coverage, big purses. That's what's needed for the pros so that they can go to the next event and actually make a living.
That's awesome. I mean, Jerry's... Like I said, he's got a lot of insight to the series. He's been doing this, to ATV racing in general. He's been doing this for a long, long time.
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, a guy like that recognizes the need for change, you know? And I think that's what this whole thing's about. You know, we're taking things to a different level, you know, a level that we've never been to as a sport. And I'm sure things are going to be kind of rough for a little while, but...
Well, you make the next decision. What do you want to do next? Do you want to bring another guest? We've got Brad Phillips here.
Yeah,
talk to him.
Man, let's get Brad in here, man. He's been running around with headphones on and acting all important. Okay. So let's hear what he's got to say.
We'll go to sound bites a little later. We'll do a contest. Let's do a contest.
Yeah, yeah, and
maybe
you know
Brad
what?
Can help us with a contest.
Let's thank Joe for apparently he's done all these interviews in a portal. Have you heard the sound quality in these things? That's great. Good work.
See where he was doing them. Me and Joe working together to kind of make it a little better.
At least it's on audio. No, we didn't have to see the portal.
Yeah.
So that's good. But all right, well we're here with Brad Phillips from Premise. We're formerly Intervision, I believe.
Yep. A couple years ago, we changed it out to about a year ago now, we changed it to Premise.
Okay.
So now officially Premise.
But. So you're unable to film at the GNC. You're asked to leave, I think. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, first off, before we get into this, I gotta say thanks to you guys. I mean, I've been listening on the headphones to what you guys are listening to on the internet, and I think it's amazing.
Does it sound good?
Awesome.
Because we're half-assing it. But
yeah. I think it's amazing. We've been refreshing the stats and stuff, and last time we refreshed, there's 124 people listening right now. So that's a good. For our first, you know, first show.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It's really good. So I first congratulate both of you guys for putting
this
together. I think it's a needed step.
We'll be in thousands.
Dude, we're getting it all professional. Like, John's wearing makeup. I don't know if you guys can see that. We've got a makeup girl putting makeup on Pellin right now, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
He looks he's stunning.
Yeah, back to the question, though. With the GNC thing, we went to the first, well, not including Glen Helm, but we went to three GNCs and shot film there and everything, and... just kind of, not to get into the details, but it ended up not working out between us and the ATVA due to exclusive rights being given out and other things that...
Do we have a 7-second delay? Because we could blurp out where he said ATVA and put something else in there.
Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Damn.
the other place. Damn. And so there's a deal with exclusive rights and stuff, and I got the impression they didn't want me there. And so I just kind of decided, you know, if they don't want me here, then I'm going to go support the new, better series.
It's like... parking your RV in Kmart's parking lot
versus
Walmart down the street that would love to have you RVers. You know what I mean?
I feel like I traded up. It's like, you know, ditching the ugly girlfriend for the hot one kind of, you know? It's like, I almost, like everyone else has been saying, thank you to the other series because I'm here. I'm having a great time.
I walked in, and you know, the thing that impressed me the most is I walked up to Rick Murphy, the CEO,
yeah,
and I expected to him to be like, well, I don't know, you know, where are we at ESPN?
Yeah, that's
got to
be weird. You're trying to shoot video at a
TV company
trying to do video.
Yeah. And I figured, best bet, they don't want me on the track, so they'll give
you'd
me
a nervous
I'll maybe
threat
buy
talking
some.
To him. I mean,
oh, yeah.
What do you expect?
I'm
go
talking,
ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I'm talking to this guy that I'm looking at is, you're Rick Murphy, you're huge. You know, you're the CEO of WPSA.
You don't let me film or not.
Yeah. And I walked up to him like, hey, how are you doing? I'm Brad Phillips. He's like, Brad Phillips, good to have you here. I'm glad you came down.
Oh,
how
you
are you
work?
Doing? Well, yeah, he had, because I had sent him a couple emails back and forth. And
All right.
So he's like, glad you made it. And, you know, how do you like it? Anything you've heard that we can change? What do you want to change? What do we think we can do? And I'm like, you know, I just want to say thank you for now. And let me film. He's like, you got it. Talk to Justin, our PR guy, another great guy. Said, hey, here you go. Here's your media vest, you know. Welcome to the team. And I could have been happier. I, you know, I feel welcome here, which is something I haven't felt for a year, you know. So I'm glad to be here. I think it's a great, great thing. And I'm proud to witness history in the making.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's funny because, I guess we've been dancing around the subject, trying to be, you know, pretty politically correct about the other series. And we should change the names to, you know, protect the innocent. So, like, Bomb Bears and B-Duck Booms and all those people that have been running that series. And Bug Boris? I mean, realistically, it's good. They treat us like just redheaded stepchildren at these races. Dude, you go over there and you just, every time you show up, it's like, dude, I got told at the last race that I am bad for the sport. Yeah, I brought outside sponsors. I sponsor more amateurs than anybody else. I'm doing all kinds of stuff to try to elevate the sport, but according to them, I'm bad for the sport because I go to ATV scene or I go here, I go there. And it's like, dude, it's so nice. We're the only ones that have brought up politics in this room this weekend. It's the only time it's been brought up. Everybody else has just been like,
right,
woo, ATV racing all weekend.
Right.
And it's nice to be in that atmosphere.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
like we're finally like, you know, where it seems like we're finally like on neutral ground and being treated as equals.
Well, I couldn't believe when I heard that you were getting kind of the shaft and stuff, because back when I was racing and I was just a little kid that came to the races and didn't know anything, I was like, George Cortes is the guy that's getting stuff done and getting, you know, moving.
Thank you.
Back when he was a Nax and everything, he was the one-legged guy getting shit done.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And when you look at it, I was just talking to people about this, and you look at the people that were around a year ago or something, you got Banger, Mark Strawbanner, Ray Christie, Donnie Banks, George Cortes. If I were to name four people that were in this series, they were for the riders, you know, more than anyone, those would be the guys.
Well, thank you.
And they're all away from the other series.
Yeah,
and they're
here.
All here now.
Wow.
With minus Ray Christie. So I'm thinking, well,
Ray was asked to join this thing, I guess.
Was
he? Didn't follow up with a phone call or something.
Yeah, I mean, he left
sucks.
On, you know, everything was kind
Ray.
Of bad terms.
I really miss him.
Yeah.
I really like Ray.
Yeah, but yeah, everyone that's for the sport, for the riders, and for the progression of the sport as a whole is over here. And that's why I'm glad to be here, too, because that's why I formed my company.
Right.
So I'm, you know, I feel proud to be sitting here next to John Pelton and George Cortes, because they're for the sport, and that just kind of it emphasizes what I try and do. And so that's, I think that's the biggest thing with WPSA is this, everyone here.
I think our workload's going to be a whole lot lighter now. You know,
yeah.
It's like, dude, I feel like we've been carrying other stuff for years, like just trying to, you know, I think we actually did a lot of stuff that wasn't even asked of us. You know, a lot of times, it's funny because we would break rules in order to make things better for the racers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like we were breaking rules to do anything. I mean, just trying to elevate the sport in general, and here I don't think we're going to have to do much.
Yeah, didn't
you know?
You were the media person. No, we were nothing official.
No, I was
doing
the press releases and all that stuff for years.
Brochures
and
the
in exchange for a hotel room. I would get a hotel
room. Yeah, I remember.
Which the tracks would get for
and
free.
And you were just doing it. You were physically going scotch tape and posters all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I would get to the tracks a week early and bring hundreds of posters and postcards and post them. And I did radio interviews and I did
you brought your team to Walmart or something?
Yeah,
or something?
We did all kinds of stuff, man.
Cool.
I mean, we were working on it, you know, trying to get things going. But
if you guys don't remember the cool ass glossy programs, those were George's invention, and he did them from beginning to end. And he did
great.
A lot.
Let's have a moment of silence for the program.
A moment of silence.
Actually, let's have a moment of silence for my credit, my debt.
yeah, really. I feel damn. That's horrible how that went down.
Realistically, though, man, the beauty of all this is that, I mean, like I said, we don't even have to look back, man. It's nice to have a whole list of stuff in front of us that we could touch on. That's the future. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, all that stuff's in the past, and let's leave it there. You know what I mean?
I don't have any hard will to the GNCs. We're talking GNCs, I'll say it.
No, it's BNCs.
Bong Bogs or whatever, but whatever. I've been to that series since it started. Since its inception in 85.
The rumor is true, dude. You ruined it.
No,
you're the one.
I promoted GNC.
Well, I put the GNC was
been, what? I do have respect for it, and I always will. It seems like It seems like we're jumping on a bandwagon, but this is the future.
Yeah,
the television, you can't argue with 80 million people. OLN versus ESPN.
Well, my only grief with
my only grief with
the people, not necessarily the GNC, the people behind the GNC, is that things that I've heard where they have done things to try and keep this new series from happening. That is where I'm like, okay.
Oh, they've been cock-blocking.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, just to call a spade a spade. Dude, they've been cock-blocking. I mean, everybody that... You know, when you look at the realistic way everything works, it's like, I mean, dude, there's so many... We're pawns in this whole thing, man. I mean, the name of the game and where the money's at is Loretta Lynn's qualifiers and regionals and areas and all that. And it's like, dude, a lot of these tracks, they rely on those races to, you know,
and
to pay their bills.
The owner of Danny Boone here gave that up for this race.
And that's awesome. You know what, dude? My hat's off to Jerry, and I'll always support this place because,
you know,
it's a guy that's willing to do what's right. And, and unfortunately, there's not enough of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's touch on that good stuff.
We weren't going to do that. I mean, here we go.
The scourge of society. We're ruining it.
This is the future of ATV racing today.
You know what? In all fairness, we attempted to make a list of likes and dislikes for the new series.
We've got
a whole page of likes, and we've got two dislikes, which...
Let's talk about the likes, then. We've talked a lot of likes.
Yeah, well, you know what? We bashed the other one. Let's bash equally.
Yeah,
you know, the downtime here is the big burden. You know, there's actually, you know, we get a chance to socialize and we get a chance to actually watch the races and do everything because everything's on a schedule. And as opposed to just sitting in staging for 40 hours, we're actually having a chance.
We were done at noon, it seemed like. We should get up at crack of dawn and hurry up through these races.
But I like
now
that.
Now they're flipping that tomorrow. Tomorrow, the pros go noon and like 4 or something, I think.
That's more like it, because I can't get up that early.
That well, it was cool, though. I mean, I'll be happy to be home.
Party tonight. How are we going to do that?
I might carry out the premise party. We've got to get up at 8 in the morning, you know?
Dude, and I dropped all those roofies into those Hawaiian Tropic Girls drinks for nothing, dude.
Yeah, I think I got one of those, actually. I grabbed one on your hand, but...
But my dislike was the heats. The heats in the main system, I didn't quite like it. Maybe you understand it.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, I think it's confusing now when it gets better. Well, I was sitting there thinking about it earlier today. I think it's nice because
it's not a moto format. Let's try to explain it. You have to explain it first.
Well, basically, you have two heat races.
You race every 7 minutes all day.
You have two heat races, and you get points for the heat race that go towards your end-of-the-year championship. And then also... points towards the main, and whoever the top 20 guys with the top 20 points go to the main. So it works nice because in the old system, it's like you'd go in your heat race, and if you crashed, crap, you gotta go to LCQ. This is good because you go to a heat, you crash, okay, well now you go back to another heat, and then you can average it out, and average the points out, and you still make it.
Now, since I didn't make the feature, will line two heat races count for points, any points?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Jim Stack there checking in again, yeah.
Jim asked if, being that he didn't make the feature, if his points would count from his heat races.
Yeah, they would. Well, I would assume, in theory, so. But then you got the main event that goes for the overall, everything, you know, the money, winner takes all, where it used to be an average of the two heats, but now it's... whoever wins the main wins the money. So I think it's a lot more appealing to TV audiences.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, dude, it's the first race, but it's going to take us a little while to adjust to
it.
It was funny in our pits today, though, man. We had kids, you know, just sitting around going, all right, dude, I just came off the track, but I think I got to go on the track again, and I got to go, you know, we were clueless, dude. We went out there and raced all day, never knowing how we were going to end up on overalls or and knowing how it was going to be scored. We were just racing for racing's sake.
Do
it was
the
awesome.
Heat, like the TTs do. Heat and a main. If you have to qualify, you run a last chance qualifier.
Yeah, but for TV purposes, I could understand it. And this is an entertainment company primarily, you know, and that's awesome. You know, it's a good thing that they're...
Well, Boehner was telling us, and I went up and looked at his stuff, and he's got computer screens that say lap times, minute behind leader, and he claims that, like, it's everything but their shoe size.
Yeah,
I mean, they've got all, from the transponders, they have all this information. It's just amazing. It makes it that much easier for him.
Unfortunately, we got to cut some stuff short. We've been on for an hour and 45 minutes. We were going to do an hour short, but
we've only got,
like, 15 more minutes to run. So let's bring in some...
We
Brad,
need to bathe.
Thanks for being with us. And,
thank you guys very much.
Hey, wait, plug your company.
No, we've got a couple more people we want to talk to.
Well, let's let him plug his
company. Yeah.
I'll make it real quick and we'll get out. Basically, not much plug. We're working on Carpe Diem 3 right now, on the road, constantly, hitting the races, going a lot of places. We were down in with Vanilla Ice and Marchdunes and stuff. We're going to Bam Margera's again, and we're also getting all the maiden pros, John Natale, Corey Ellis, you know, our main guys like Brock Lyon, stuff like that. So we're... going to make this
now,
one the best one yet.
Where can people get Carpe Diem 2, though?
You can get everything on our website, premisind.com. P-R-E-M-I-S-I-N-D.com. And also, check out the scene. I got a column that I've been a little slow on lately, but I try and update it bi-monthly or so you can see what we've been doing on that.
That's the Through the Lens?
Through the Lens on ATV Scene, yep.
All right, you guys got to check that out. And in case anybody doesn't know, if you just tuned in late, you can go on to open forums and send us questions or post your questions and we'll do what we can answer them. We've only got about 13 minutes left because we've been on here for we've been on here since yesterday. You guys have been missing a lot of stuff.
All right, guys.
Thanks for your time, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Sure. Next up, we're going to have another guest. We got a couple more sound bites. We'll just skip those. We'll go to the ATV Insider here. And they've been patiently watching. I think they're guys taking notes on what we're doing over here. Because you said you were trying to do, you like the idea and the name Pure Dirt. Why was that? Why Pure? Why did it speak? Well, what sparked interest in you guys?
What appealed to me is that it's the whole idea of innovation. And people here are doing something new, and that's what you're doing. There's not a
first
lot.
First off, introduce who you guys are.
Okay, my name is David Schloss. I'm the publisher of ATV Insider.
And I'm Mark Barilla. I'm the art director at ATV Insider.
This is the rag we were very much approving earlier.
Yeah, have
today.
You guys considered dropping, like, making it maybe ATV Insider or something, you know?
Just, for all the players.
Yeah. And, or, you know, maybe putting a little apostrophe in there somewhere and doing something, you know. That's what it's all about.
Well, that's right.
You guys rolled into this place. What did you expect?
Well, we had a 7-hour drive down here, and we were pretty stoked on the whole idea, and we were really looking forward to see what they had to offer. And we hadn't been to Daniel Boone before, so we were looking forward to seeing the track and, you know, just taking in the whole atmosphere of this new WPSA series and just kind of seeing everybody's reaction and the riders' reaction and everything that comes along with introducing something new into the sport like this. And we were pleasantly surprised. I mean, things went well today, and the racing was good, and the new quad terrain event was also good. And
did you get a cover shot?
I don't know. I think I got a Hawaiian Tropic girl that's going to go on the cover. Yeah. The one without the Adam's apple.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe put a corner picture, a little quad. You got some sort of quad, maybe, or a wheel, something.
So, yeah, we were both happy to be here, and we both had a good time, and we think this series has a lot of potential.
Cool. So, are we going to a magazine format soon, or is that not in the works yet?
Glossy.
We're
putting them on the spot. All you guys in the forums, both these guys just turned white, looked at each other.
Next month is going on.
Glossy in the future, but not sure when. Okay. But we're looking forward to it.
After being in your motorhome, I'd say we're going online next.
We are going online? You guys are going online?
I would say after.
That's it. We'll put you guys out of business, dude. We're like the mob, too.
In John's Palace, I think online's where it's at.
Yeah, you know what? They were on. The guys from the third floor are yelling down to us and telling us that we need to speak into the mic. From the production wing, they're
third floor of the Weekend Warrior. Is that what you're saying?
Going to Glossy is definitely a goal. You know, that's why we started this. But like everything else, it takes time.
Right on.
You know, we take baby steps, and
right on.
We want to be in it for a long run.
What's in the next issue? What can we look forward to?
Oh, boy.
WPSA.
The whole thing? You're going to devote the whole issue to it?
Big coverage, featured story.
Okay.
And then all the races that everyone's used to seeing.
Cool.
64 pages of Tess Sewell in a miniskirt.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's good stuff, an orange miniskirt.
And like you said, the program here is the future of ATV racing. We have a feature that our next issue comes out in about 3 weeks, Generation Next, and it takes a look at some of the future stars of the sport.
Cool.
This year we have a number of pro class rookies that have the ability to make some impact on any given race day. And we wanted people to know their personalities.
Chad Weenan comes to mind. Mm-hmm. He's been riding pretty damn good. But, okay. Well, what else? You got any questions for them, George?
No, I don't really like those guys.
They
took my seat. I'm standing over John's shoulder now, like a.
Thanks for coming though and hanging out with us.
Uncle from his
past. we're gonna get a story too. I appreciate that. We don't know. Was it two tribes? You said.
Yeah, two strokes.
Two strokes.
John Pellin and George Cortez here.
Can I say anything I want?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
All right.
Realistically, where can people go to
to get the ATV Insider? You know, yeah. I mean, is there, you guys got a website where we can subscribe, or how's it work?
Yeah, you can go online, go to www.atv-insider.com. You can subscribe online. It's only $10 using PayPal. You get 6 issues, full year, delivered to your home.
How could you not buy that?
Check it out, guys.
Anybody that doesn't do it is an idiot.
Yep.
Quote me on that.
We're probably preaching to the choir here. They're all subscribers. Anyway, okay, next guest. Thank you for coming, guys, though.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
You guys rock. All right, we're here with Demetrius Knopp, this is the future of ATV racing. So round 5, well I guess it's stop 5 on the WPSA tour, is my new friend, Demetrius Knopp. He's the guy that owns Wildcat Creek. And it was kind of cool how it came about. Brad introduced the track to me, who I introduced the track to someone else, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're on the tour.
Once again, it's all about John, just for the listeners, yeah. You know. That John made this whole series happen. It's all John's hard work. Thank you, John.
No way.
Yeah, just like everybody else is saying, we'd like to thank the WPSA for giving this opportunity. And like John was saying, you know, with meeting Brad, he was doing some filming out there for some videos, and we appreciate, you know, all the input that he's given to us so we could have this opportunity. We're looking forward to it. We came to this, you know, with everybody else not knowing what to expect. And
your track's going to be round 1 of the 6 hours of ATV America, and that's the reason I came and got to meet you and all this. And I stopped by and looked at the track. You got some killer jumps. And it's a pretty cool little track. It's in Rossville, Indiana, which is about an hour north of Indy. Am I
it's,
right?
It's 60 miles north of Indianapolis. We're about 20 miles east of University of Purdue. So,
spectators.
Is there hot girls at University of Purdue?
Yes, there are very many hot girls at Purdue.
Right. Do they show up at the track? Are they moto fans?
Actually, we do get quite a bit of people that do come from Purdue.
Can we have a bikini contest of some sort?
It would be nice.
Well, when is your race? What date?
It's July 22nd and 23rd.
Well, you got homework. You got to go home and start going to University of Purdue and start just stalking them.
I don't know if we can have the misanthropic, but
he's on a bulldozer all day long. But so, clean up and go. Yeah, do that for us.
But we would. We're trying to get some concerts and stuff going for that weekend. So, I got some friends that are in some pretty good bands, and so we're trying to get something going like that.
Hey, do you guys have a website for the track where you can check it out?
Yeah, it's wildcatcreekmx.com. We got tons of pictures. You can see most of the whole track. Right. We got an aerial map of the track, and you can see everything there. It's pretty awesome. We're planning on doing a lot of changes for this.
Yeah, I saw. You got some serious money behind you, it looked like, to be able to do the things you're about to do. You guys wouldn't believe what they're about to do at this place.
Fully sit-down, dining, eating concession area. You know, people can come in, that's sit down, nice. Eat.
Like a restaurant right in the middle of the track.
Basically a restaurant right in the middle of the track.
That's
so
awesome.
You'd be able to come in, get out of the sun, you know, take a break, and sit down and eat a meal. So
it looked like a little narrow drive coming in when I was driving. Is that an issue with trailers? It's kind of narrow getting in there.
I think you came in the third gate. Yeah. Everybody will come in the main gate. So it's not as big as an issue.
Gotcha.
But if it becomes an issue, we'll fix it.
You got some killer jumps, too. Holy shit.
How long have you guys been around?
Fifth season. I started the track when I was 19. I raced for years, and I just wanted to bring something for it, for everybody.
You a quad racer? What did you race?
I grew up riding quads. I started when I was 4, and I rode those until I was 17, and then I switched to bikes.
That's weird.
Traitor.
Yeah. And then after seeing the utility class today, which is killer, by the way, I would love to try that. You know, it's just something that's so awesome. So I think everything's going to be good.
Well, based on what you saw here, what are you expecting? Are you overwhelmed? Is it going to happen?
I'm very overwhelmed. I just think it's going to do nothing but grow.
You had a lot. You're going to widen the track, it looked like.
Yeah, we got some narrow spots, but we're getting ready to do some major overhauling on the track just to widen it. You know,
what kind of equipment do you have?
Right now I have a dozer and a bobcat and a backhoe.
But you got
and
access to it.
Yeah, some friends of mine work for some really big excavating companies that help us out with whatever equipment we need, so we can get anything that we need to do anything. So we got all that stuff coming in. They're talking next weekend, so Wow. All the changes will be getting done here momentarily.
Right on. This is a pretty instrumental feat for the Wildcat Creek, I would think, this. And then also the 6 hours of America.
Yeah.
I can't wait for
with that.
With that,
we're just, it's overwhelming. This year we came in and, you know, it's what we're trying to do, try to get something like this. And it's
right.
a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us.
So
with everything, you know, with the 6 hours of Indiana
and
the WPUSA event, we're just stoked.
Let me ask you, as far as your track, is it open for practice between now and then? Because I know a lot of
being
that it's a new stuff for us, a lot of guys are going to want to get
out
there.
We're open 3 days a week. We're open Wednesday, Saturdays, and Sundays.
On the same track as the WPSA is going to run.
We're open.
There you go.
Well, actually, I had to hire a track manager for this weekend to be here
run
the track for us while we're gone this weekend. So.
All right. Well, that's June 17 on the 6 hours of Indiana, and we're going to run basically the same track. That one's going to be a lot of motocross. I'm actually the promoter of the 6 hours of ATV America as well, and you're our first round. So if you're not into motocross, maybe that's not the one to you. We will have cross country. We just won't be as much as some of the other 6 hours, but I like the place. There's some scary jumps though. There's some big stuff. You need to know what you're doing. Are you probably gonna tone down some of it or run it?
No, I really don't. I think it's more intimidating than actual.
Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
You just look at it and you're like, wow, that's big. But once you get out there and ride it, it's pretty cool. But that's why we built the track. We built it for things like this, for the pro guys. You know, it's not every day that you get factory riders to come to your track. So, you know, that's what we came in building it. We didn't build it just for amateurs. We built it for
something big.
Something big.
Okay.
And, you know, we're getting this opportunity and we're going to just hopefully be in the long run, you know, starting new with these guys. Hopefully we can stay with them, you know, something that we would love to do.
Right. Well, if John hasn't put you out of business with the 6 hour race, then hopefully we'll all get to see that track by what date is it again?
June 17th.
No, not your 6 hour. We're not.
I keep plugging.
We're not plugging
Let's just
that.
Talk about that. 6 hours at ATVAmerica.com.
Your WPSA race?
July 22nd and 23rd.
Well, I think
that's round five. It's coming.
It sounds like a great placement. It sounds like it's very centrally located, which is going to be
hotels
nice.
Near?
Yep. Hotels are 15 minutes from the track.
Stuff to eat?
There's more than you could ask for eating places, all the way from fast food to fine dining. So.
Does our cell phone work? I didn't get to check it when I was at your place.
Yeah. Most cell phones work pretty well out there.
I can't. If I don't have cell phone coverage or internet, I'm a bastard.
I know. I got Singular and my father has Verizon and Sprint. All those work very well, so I think everybody should.
Which means T-Mobile will be worthless. Thanks, T-Mobile. Two-year contract. Love you.
GPS for people that have the map to get us right to the door. Do you have an address?
Yes, our address is 6390 South Wildwood, and that's located in Rossville, Indiana. That's a 46065 zip code.
I think I used that and it got me right to where.
Yeah, if you go on MapQuest, I've done it on MapQuest, and that'll take you right there. So,
How many riders do you average?
We average on our basic average about 200. On some of our bigger events, you know, we get
that's bikes and quads. I take it.
Yeah, that's bikes and quads, and then you know, on some of our other events, we have 400.
You had a qualifier there.
Yeah, we had an area qualifier last year, and
this isn't it.
Bye.
Yeah, and
I'm gonna miss you.
You know, and for this event, WPSA, I think that this is the future. So
yeah,
cool. Hey,
cool.
Well, not to cut you off, but dude, we've been running close to 2 hours now. We've got to thank all our big sponsors, our corporate sponsors.
Yeah, here they are.
We want to thank Viagra for keeping us up. Whoever the Mexican that brought us to Roofies, we'd like to thank you.
If they don't want money back or something. That's
and
ridiculous.
I hadn't heard about Spanish Fly since sixth grade, but apparently
I'm willing to try it.
We got a 55-gallon drum of Spanish Fly in the Weekend Warrior.
Okay.
And now we definitely need to thank everybody that came in. Tess Sewell.
Yep.
And who else?
Demetrius.
Jim Stack.
Jim Stack. Yep. We had
Demetrius. Brad Phillips.
The
ATV Insider guys.
For worrying about having enough guests, we had. They're in line.
Yeah, John and I did our show prep 8 minutes before this started.
Yeah, this is winging it for sure.
I had a blast.
Yep, but we're supposed to do a contest, but we'll do that next time. Right, Joe? What do you think? We do a contest next time?
Realistically, it's not a huge investment. Why don't we see the first person to post? What do we need to post? What do we need to post? Now we need a question.
A picture of Curtis Sparks.
The first person to post a picture of
Curtis
Sparks?
That has a picture of Curtis when he raced with a helmet on.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, you get a free subscription to ATV right. Insider. And you're also going to be getting a WPSA event t-shirt autographed by the podium. Whoever's on the podium tomorrow, we'll get them to autograph it. And we'll throw in some goodies. Spanish Fly roofies, and that's about it.
Vada KY?
Oh, come on. See, now John just went over. Just for the record, anybody that's listening, John doesn't know when to stop.
With their name, full name, and mailing address.
Oh, God. Oh, that's risking it. Now we're wanting you to post all your information. Let's give you your social security number, your telephone, and your address.
Now, first person to post a picture of their hot sister.
Yeah, we should do women. I'm trying to get...
What? And we're throwing in a carpe diem, too, as well. So now this is a big prize package. The contest was
first person to post... Well, now we have to do both. We need a hot-looking girl and a picture of Curtis Sparks.
Curtis Sparks and a hot girl.
Can you attach two images?
No Adam's apple on the hot girl, please. We saw 19 of those today.
And nobody else's work. You can't take a scene girl shot and use it as your picture. You have to go find a picture. Yeah, you have to find your own picture of a hot girl.
Your
girlfriend, your hot sister you're going to hook us up with, something like that.
Your hot mom. But,
yeah, and then a picture of Curtis, whether he's in his helmet or he's racing on a three-wheeler or whatever, or a four-wheeler, a 250X, and we'll give you the goods. Where are they posted? Open?
There'll be a contest post in the WPSA. In the WPSA.
Nobody's gonna
section.
Be able to win this. Who's gonna?
All right, we'll see what happens. But thanks for listening, guys. We're done. We're running way long, and we appreciate it.
Thank you to my staff, especially Brad, Joe. Love you to death. Thank you for all the hard work. It's been not easy this weekend. We've been barely getting here, and we got everything set up, and it's half-assed the show a little bit, but we're gonna make it better.
But thanks, bye.
Thank you all for listening, and tune in tomorrow when we'll have Quadcast, we call it. We'll stream the pro race at 4 p.m. So tune in if you want to listen. If you're a diehard ATVer like us, you could listen to it live and in the guessing of who actually won. Just listen to it live. You don't have to go type stuff in forums and wonder what's up.
All right, that's it, dude. What's going on? You ramble.
I know. I'm trying to poke our Quadcast. I'm proud of that.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, and over and out.